Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that is an alternative source of energy. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we spend some time catching up after a long break. We're too lazy to review anything, and we discover Shane's favorite ice cream is black walnut.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey, everybody. We're back.
Hi.
Hi.
We don't know how to do this.
I'm hitting the wrong buttons. I forgot that I went digital now with my notes on my this fancy handheld device over here, and I didn't have it open. What a way to start the show.
Well, we are back, lest you thought we were out.
Did you say lest Jews?
Lest.
Lest Jews.
That's an Al Michaels reference.
Lest Jews.
Lest you think we were done, you are incorrect. This is episode 1. Is it 121?
121.
121 of The Scope. We're back to our biannual episode schedule.
We're back to full strength, too.
Yep, Adam is here, Jared is here, and I, Shane, am also here. It's been about 6 weeks, I think.
I think five. I'm going with five.
You always got to undercut me.
Just think five.
5 weeks, Adam.
All right. Does it hurt? I was on that one, right?
I think that was an Oscar, the pre-Oscar episode.
And we talked about The River,
which is now finished up. All them right. Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah. That's how long it's been.
Did any of us watch any more episodes of The River?
I completed it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I stopped a few episodes after The River.
Okay. I thought it finished strongly. Huh. So there.
Yeah, the way Jared explained it, it sounded like a good show that I missed. Yeah. But
I mean, it still has flaws, but I think it had me intrigued enough that I would actually check out a second season should it get one, which I don't think it will,
right.
Unless Netflix decides to do something.
Oh, yeah. They're
that's the rumors. The rumor.
Talking about that.
Right on.
So Jared mentioned all digital notes.
Yeah.
Interesting here today, we have three generations of iPads. Jared has the original iPad. It's a beast. Oh, and then Adam, we'll go chronologically.
Yes.
I have the iPad 2 sitting here. It's covered.
It's never, yeah.
Now it's open. There now it's shut.
Give it some sun. It's probably
okay. We're going to let it bask. There we go. And Adam is here with a brand new iPad. That's just what they're calling it. The new iPad.
I think it was just called
that screen
the 2012 nice. iPad or something.
So, Adam, tell me about this beautiful iPad. When did you get it?
I got it yesterday at like 8 o'clock at night.
Where at?
Best Buy in Invergrove Heights.
Invergrove Heights.
Just an impulse purchase? Or I need the new sexy.
I've been using my HP touchpad that I got for $100.
Yeah. The thing that you just had to rip me on. You got this great touchpad, and I spent all this money on an iPad. This guy's like Steve Jobs, you know?
Sure.
Somebody comes up with a great idea, he poo-poos it.
Well,
then a year later, he's like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. Like, he never, ever said a bad thing about it.
He's like Steve Jobs in that every 6 months he has to get something of that particular category. Steve Jobs, it was a new Mercedes. For Adam, it's a new tablet.
He loves tablets.
Well, the touchpad was fine, and I'd even been running Android on it for the last month and a half or so.
Yeah.
They hacked it and made it so you could do that. But it was just janky all the time, even when it was running.
Janky.
Yeah. WebOS, the default operating system.
Yes.
There was no app support on that side. And when you had it running Android, like, I'd say half of all apps actually ran on it with any sort of consistency. And that was always my problem with when I had an Android phone. It's just like you're kind of like struggling to make it work the way you want versus when Mandy had her iPhone before I got mine. And it was, you know, like she barely, you know, had to do anything special with it other than like Pinterest and Instagram or whatever.
I've lived in both worlds too, and I kind of agree with Adam in that respect. I think on Android, the core apps work really well. Like your Facebooks, your Twitters, your Google apps.
The GPS, the map thing, navigation is the
Those tend
the
to work really well, but once you start getting outside of that top tier of apps, it's
wild.
You never
land.
Know. And the quality is crazy. Mostly because nobody wants to pay for things on the Android side.
Right. Of course not.
So there's no level of detail.
So I had a big Best Buy gift card that I just had been sitting on since Christmas.
And by big, he means $15.
I was like, oversized? Like one of those prize
like,
checks?
Like, I won the lottery! Nice.
It was really annoying to bring into the store. Especially like when you have to scratch it.
I was going to go for the scratch, and you're totally ahead of me.
They actually had to get a team of people out there with just a roll of quarters. They just cracked them open.
A sandblaster, Jared.
Yeah.
There you go. Right down. Take it in the back.
And I've been looking online at some forums that I frequent, and the touchpad actually goes for a pretty high amount.
$15. So he doubled his doubled his card.
So people want it, huh?
Yeah. Well, because it's probably one of the best Android tablets when it really comes down to
That's really sad.
Yes, it's just terrible.
Sad that okay.
And I mean, other than the Kindle Fire. You know, which is kind of undersized, and people have their own issues with that. It's
a Kindle Fire. Full is the first issue.
Yeah, yeah. it's as full featured as almost any other Android tablet. You know, other than the app issues, but people don't want to spend $500 for a whatever.
No,
sure.
So, yeah, it looks like I can sell it for probably $200. Plus, I have the cool little dock that. They have, which is conductive electricity or whatever it's called, where you don't have, there's no plug.
It just
sits
it
in the cradle and it charges.
Like a cat in the cradle.
So it looks like that, and then I had a case that I got for free. So I can probably get about $250 for.
So you're going to turn a profit.
How are you going to sell this? eBay or something like
no,
that?
No, on forums that I am on frequently, they have like their own little
subset.
Yeah, community of private people market. Buying stuff. So. That plus the gift card, and then I don't know, plus my tax return or something, and it's effectively a zero loss on getting it. And it was cool. I mean, I was at my friend's in Arizona over the week, and he has one. He like just got it, and he uses the comic book apps, and that's what convinced me, because it was always a pain to read comic books on the touchpad on either the Android or the webOS apps for them. They were okay. They just had weird issues with how they would render stuff sometimes.
How do you deal with a double page spread?
I have not run into one yet, okay. So I don't know.
So this opens up in a topic that I've been curious about lately. Now that I have an iPad 1, it still works, mm-hmm. No need to be sad for me.
Filming your sexual escapades
yes.
with the camera.
No, I don't have a camera, so that option
you
is
can't
out.
Do it. So
this
wait,
one does not
Jared.
Have a camera. No, digital comics. So mm-hmm. have you spent some time doing the research, Adam? I'm really curious.
Yes,
what's
of course
the best,
he has, Jared. This
what's
is
the best
Adam.
Path There's... is because there is. I noticed there are some apps that are sort of have kind of cover a lot of, if not all, of publishers, and then there's each publisher tends to have their own app as well. So what is the best?
So
path?
Here's what I've figured out: Comixology.
Yep.
The DC app is Comixology, just branded.
Okay.
And then Comixology has the whole Marvel catalog, too.
Okay.
So it seems like that's the best one.
Okay. But I noticed that it doesn't have Dark Horse, which is sort of a bummer.
Jared right. loves a good Dark Horse.
But they do have
Buffy.
Some, they have most Dark Horse trades, I think, right?
I didn't see them listed
so
as a
So where
publisher.
Do you get Dark Horse, then?
You have to pull, I think
they
you have
have
to get
their
the,
own app.
Yeah, you have to get the Dark Horse app.
Yeah, which is annoying. And then so Marvel is doing a thing now. This was in news, but we can talk about it now.
It's a hot new item.
Yeah, they're giving a digital code for every physical issue you buy.
Is that for every comic now? Because it's Ultimate Universe, okay. which is what I collect. And then I think they're going to do it with other books.
I think they said by summer it was going to be all books.
It should be all books.
All
yeah. It absolutely
so
should be
So you buy
all
the
books.
Physical one, you get a code, you get the digital one too.
Yeah, that should absolutely be that.
But I think you have good. To do that with the Marvel app. So like you're kind of spreading it all around.
So this is my problem.
Yes.
I mean, I it's not insurmountable, but it bothers me that you can't just do one app
well,
to rule
then,
them all.
I don't know. Then there's
the magazines are the same way, though, because you get them through the iBook store. You can get them through the fucking Kindle. You can get them directly from the publisher. Yeah, it's sort of like, gosh.
Yeah.
Too much. So it's like, I would like to probably go all digital with my magazines too, but it just doesn't seem like there's a good, easy way to do that.
I would too.
And it's more expensive.
Well,
honestly, it's more expensive.
If I could read them, because the only time I read magazines is the 20 minutes before you take off and the 20 minutes as you're landing.
And the 2 hours you're sitting on the toilet having a great bowel movement.
No, what's this thing called?
Do iPad. Not touch that, Jared. that is my tip.
You're talking paper magazines because you can't have an electronic
exactly.
device.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. And the FAA said they're reviewing this again, but they did it as lately as 2006, and they still had the same ruling. So who knows?
I think it's a minor inconvenience.
There's also
safe for people.
There's
sure.
also
just relax.
You can also pirate.
Let's all get out of the ground safely. How about that? Pirating, okay.
You can also pirate.
I heard
your stuff. Basically, if you, I'm not going to advocate doing this, but if you do it, comic, what's it called?
Just take some notes here.
Jared is on his digital.
I'll just review the show later.
Comic, damn it. Comic Zeal is the best. reader for pirated comics.
How do you do? I don't need to know where to find them because I can probably just find them on my own.
Like torrent of DC 52. Are they just scans of them or how?
And just PDFs or something like that? Or
they're CBRs, which are
CBRs.
It's a comic book pirated
format. So they actually came up with their own format. All right.
Yeah. Basically, every page of the book is its own scan.
Sure.
It's basically a zip file. They just have a name for it.
Clever.
Okay. And it works. I mean, it works really well. It's like $2 or three, I don't know. I have like two $50 iTunes gift cards that I've never used.
So you can buy an app from the App Store to read pirated comic books.
Well, I mean, it has a legitimate purpose, too,
okay.
I'm sure.
What is that?
I don't know.
Is it a flashlight app?
If you were scanning your own physical comics.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So you could do your own. Sure.
I mean, actually, that's how they get around
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Sounds perfectly legitimate.
So I'm not advocating. But maybe there's public domain comic books out there that are in this format, right? Isn't that what they are? It's a Linux
you can
ISO.
Check them out from the library.
It's always Linux.
I'm downloading those Linux ISOs.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I got a text here. You guys keep talking.
That's fine. We're talking comics. So I have the Comixology comics app, and also the Dark Horse one. And I really only downloaded like a free issue of The Walking Dead so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed that some of the older trades are cheap.
Yes,
like you can get like the first five volumes of The Walking Dead for like $4 each, and then they start going up in price as you get newer.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's huge price savings over the print versions.
And for the monthlies, every publisher is different. But like I've been reading the new Animal Man in DC, and it's they're $3.99 the week they come out. They're $2.99 after a couple weeks, and then they're $1.99 after. A month or 2 months or something like that. Okay. So if you don't mind being behind,
I don't mind. I'm already about 8 years behind. So
what should a digital comic cost? Every week, every month that it comes out, I'll tell you what it should cost.
A buck,
a dollar.
Yeah,
that's all it should ever cost.
Like a song. Yes.
Jared and I had a huge conversation about this.
I don't think there's any more cost involved in producing a comic than there is in producing a song.
Right. With
and a song goes for 99 cents.
With a comic book, I mean, now it's all done. It's all digital format. I mean, they're all working within a computer. So I'm assuming that getting it into a digital format for your iPad is all automated.
Yeah.
So where's the cost beyond paying the talent? But, you know, if people aren't buying the stuff anyway.
Well, if they did that, if they made it a dollar, what happens to comic book shops?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're protecting the comic book shops, but eventually print is going to go away.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be around forever,
right.
You know. When does the tide turn? I don't know. I don't know for sure. But.
It's weird to protect. I mean, I understand it's like that's a very insular community there, so it's like, but it's weird to protect something that like. Very few people, you know, percentage-wise, actually go to. Like, I understand. I mean, I don't agree with it, but I understand protecting Best Buy and Walmart or protecting your deals with them if you are a music publisher, because you know that's still where the majority of your total sales are coming from. Even though you know the iTunes store and Amazon, you know, maybe make up larger individual percentages. Like Walmart and Best Buy together, obviously, make up more than any of those. So I get that. But, like, no one really, you know, like, comics don't sell well at all. And pirating is a huge issue, problem for them.
Jared and I were talking about this yesterday. I think that comics sort of follow the same mindset that books follow, which is if you were to buy The Hunger Games in a digital format, it costs exactly the same or maybe even a little bit more than it would cost if you were to buy it in the store.
Well, and you can't resell it, so I mean the effective total cost is probably more.
Yeah. So the belief that Jared and I came to is that, you know, the publishing world is just prepping for the inevitable day when print goes away, and they are creating the belief, the mindset for people that buy books that digital books will cost the same as what it would cost printed.
Forever.
The value is the same, so we're never going to deviate from that.
And the problem
comic books, people are trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
The difference is the comic book community is so much smaller and shrinking every day that I just don't know how they're going to survive.
The problem with that thinking of trying to create the perception of a value is that piracy undermines all that.
Mm-hmm.
If people realize that they can get stuff for free with a little bit more effort, a lot of times they'll go that route.
So $15 for a hardcover book versus free.
So but there is a certain learning curve to that, and you know, kind of coming up with your own workflow, whatever. But if you can make it simple by having it in one place and making the price, you know, to the point where it's an impulse buy, I think you sell a lot more. I mean, people like to operate under this assumption that you price yourself at a certain point, so there's a perceived value.
Right.
But that some people just don't care.
No.
You know.
I think
music albums should probably be $5.
I agree with you. I mean, don't you?
I would buy so many albums if they were $5 each.
Because on a whim, you'd hear a part of a song and you'd be like, "Oh, bad,
$5. What the
hell?" So don't you think that? Boy, I just lost my thought. I had it and I lost it. It's back. So you
is this where you thought the A block was going to go?
Yeah. No. So my question to you guys is this.
Yes.
Do you believe, as I do, that the overall impression that anything digital should always be cheaper than some sort of physical copy, and that mindset kind of permeates...
Unless there's an added
Joe
value.
Joe Public. Yeah.
I think yeah, because people...
People don't have it. You don't have it,
I mean,
know?
There's just the simple fact of physical thing that had materials and manufacturing involved versus... Nothing.
Yeah.
There's no physical thing over here. This is perceived to be worth less.
Or should
cost less.
Or nothing. Hence pirating. You know, people don't even, since it's not there, it's not tangible.
Right. And
then that shouldn't cost anything.
As someone who is, you know, quote unquote, in the music business, not really, but it's like, I have to deal with this too, but it's like, as a consumer, it's like, my mindset is like, this non-physical thing should not cost as much. I don't, mm-hmm. I know there are certain fixed costs in the production of it you have to cover. That's fine. But in the manufacturing part, it doesn't exist.
Yes.
So why am I being charged the same as the physical good?
Because...
Other than, you know, there's a convenience for me not having to store it somewhere.
Yeah. And that was always the pitch that we were sold.
Yes. But there's a risk...
From the olden days. It costs money to make it.
There's also a risk that I'm assuming with a digital good in that it could disappear if my hard drive crashes.
Yes.
Or somehow I get locked out of my account that... holds all the rights to it.
Well, that's on you.
So I think there should be a price break for that too. Like if I have to go and rebuy it, then it better be freaking cheap for me to rebuy it.
Amen, brother.
Anyway.
Whoa,
let's let him go.
My idea for a piece of furniture for the future that I think would really take off is a bookshelf that you sync with your iPad or whatever your digital and it
combination
just,
sex swing. I get where you're going.
You're always exactly. Sex swing.
It
in this
just
show,
it
isn't
displays
it?
The vinyl records for the albums you own and the books. For the books and comic books that you own, like in a hologram or something, just so you can still show off your collection.
Because they have like a digital version of that. If you go, what is that? There is a Mac app. I can't remember the name of it now.
Right, just like the bookshelf.
But it's
virtual.
Like all your goods are in there.
Yeah, okay. I've seen that.
But yeah, you're talking like a physical holographic thing.
He wants a holographic
representation
of my
digital
vinyl.
Yeah.
You can see my vinyl.
Jared, do we have a breaking news sounder anywhere that you could find? Because I have a breaking news for you that I don't know I could talk. And then once you find
I have no idea where it is on this new computer.
Is there any sort of sound effect that we could pretend could be a breaking news sounder?
Wee-oh, wee-oh, wee-oh. All right.
Here. Well,
that sounds like a very
how about
sick...
this?
Okay.
You'll hear it again later.
I have breaking news.
Should have remixed that.
Today, I bought a new iPad.
Did you really?
I did.
There's a remix.
For my wife.
Oh, did you now?
My wife, yes.
You're not even getting the new one and giving her the old one?
She would not go for that. No can do.
She wants the new hotness.
She said she wants to have something that's brand new.
I think that's fair.
So I pledged to her that I would find one. Best Buy last week told me, we're going to get all sorts of iPads in this Sunday, come this Sunday. So I stopped by this Sunday. Second guy in line, didn't have any. They had just the AT&T and Verizon ones. So I'm thinking, I'm going to head over to the Apple store. Head over to the Apple store. It doesn't open till 11 a.m., so they were just doing training classes.
Yeah.
And I thought I would kill some time because it's about 10:15. Go over to the Target across the street. Bam, they had one. They had a couple of the 16 in black, which she wanted white, but she was fine with black. And I picked that up for her.
Nice.
So...
Excellent.
Thanks for tuning in to iPad chat.
So my wife is not the smartest when it comes to technology. So I think I might swap them.
Right? You know, how does she know?
I'll just put her pink cover on mine.
Yeah.
Clear it out and say, "Here you go, honey."
Not
as good.
Let her have her new toy. Come on.
We'll see.
Audrey's going to play with it anyway.
Yeah. Well, I can.
So you're now a two iPad household. Huh?
We are. Well, and my wife does not go on the laptop anymore. She accesses the internet from her phone.
Okay, pretty much. So this will be something
she can sit on the couch, access what she needs to, and that should work out.
She can load up on Katy Perry's.
Nothing but Katy Perry, nothing but Flo Rida. And nice. Who else would be in there? Bay City Rollers.
And lots of Alva Bon Jovi.
Alva Bon Jovi.
The complete oeuvre of Bon Jovi.
And Roxette's Greatest Hits.
Yes.
Wow.
And Look Out. Look Out, world.
Strangely enough, some Ludwig von Beethoven.
No, that's not there.
No?
No.
Wow, just crashing my joke.
Lana Del Rey, Jared. Nothing but Lana Del Rey, huh?
And Johann Sebastian Bach.
There we go.
Sebastian Bach.
Any sort of minuet. Any sort of minuet will be there. So that's my breaking news.
Nice.
I was successful. I was not to be.
There's still a chance dissuaded. That I may buy my own. It's nice having a work one, but I may want the new hotness for myself. So.
Will you wait till the new iPad, or will you get this latest version?
I might look at the latest, but I might wait for all the bugs, the kinks to be worked out. So,
I can trade this one in at Best Buy for $300 if I wanted to.
Oh, that's not too bad.
$300 credit for that.
I mean, what size is
32 gig?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. So it cost me $300 to get.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You could probably sell it online for less, but
I think you should just wait.
I'm probably
wait for the next one.
The thing is, I don't use mine that much.
Yeah.
So for me to do that would be sort of silly.
You have to be like, why? What's the benefits to? Are you doing? You're not doing a lot of 3D gaming, if any. And you're not probably doing any video editing or photo editing.
No, not really.
So the benefits to the Retina screen for you are probably minimal.
I'm with you there. I think that I can wait another year.
Yeah. I think you can.
I think I can, too.
Not when we start doing this podcast weekly and I'm bringing this thing in all the time.
Yeah,
and
like,
look at these, we're recording directly to our iPads.
Look at these boobs in HD.
Oh, I got to have that. So iPad talk is over, guys. What's on the show coming up?
I don't know.
We've got a lot of stuff to catch up over the last 6 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever.
Did you have anything else in the A block that you wanted to get to, or was this it?
No, it was more like what people have been up to.
That's about it.
And that's right. It's been a lot of iPad focused stuff. So
pretty
we're good
much.
With that. So yeah,
I've been DJing.
Jared's been DJing. Oh, is he going to put it up to the mic?
Turntable.fm.
Nope. So we'll just kind of cover the things we've gone through, what's interested us in the last 5 weeks or so. Should be a fairly free-flowing, exciting, but no agenda type of show. No agendas, Jared.
That's actually a show.
Is it?
No agenda.
Oh, geez.
Adam Curry here. I'm going to just keep talking for 1 second.
Beyond that, no reviews here this week. No real reviews, but we will be doing Under the Scope, which is the segment that you have come to grow in love.
I mean, really, everything we say is kind of a review on that thing. You know,
it really is. Come on, Jared.
What? You want to hear this? Here we go. Why are you not louder?
Stupid iPad 1. Oh. Nice. I'm going to get that.
It's called DJ. You should get it. It's fun. Anyway, there's a little scratching on the show.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
We're going to move.
It's like the Beastie Boys are right here.
Move our podcast into the music.
Yes.
The music section.
We'll just DJ it all on the iPad. That'd be awesome.
Anyway, great.
So what's going up?
I've already said, Jared. Oh. So why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more nonsensical talk here on The Scope.
You've got questions. Tony's got answers. It's time for Ask Tony. Dear Tony, I'm trying to lose some weight before an upcoming convention so I can fit into my Aquaman costume. Do you have any diet and exercise tips? Signed, Portly in Pittsburgh.
Dear Portly, I'm not sure what an Aquaman is, but it sounds slightly queer. That being said, Tony Partington loves all kinds, including these fruity Aquamen. So stay away from the ding-dongs and the monster burgers, Tubby. And for maximum impact, try Billy Blank's Taibo 2006 Bootcamp Elite DVD, along with Yoga Lattes. It helps sculpt my body into perfection. We're talking museum quality, baby. Thanks for writing, Lardo. Keep on listening to The Scope.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Tony, send your question.
Wow, are you terrible? Why don't you leave the voiceover work to the professionals, pal? Don't you have some girls to not ask out? If you would like me, Tony Partington, to impose my advice on you and set you on a path to glory, send your tales of woe and misery to AskTony@thescopeshow.com. I promise not to be too destructive, but let's face it, the truth hurts. And it hurts some of you more than others. Now, back to the scope.
Yeah, we are back here on Scope, episode 121.
Yeah!
What happened to your voice?
I don't know. It sounded like I was congested doing Jimmy Fallon imitations.
Yeah.
It's a catch-em-up show, guys.
Gotta catch-em-up all.
It's the Pokemon-style version. Uh-oh. All right, scratch it out, baby. I have got a laundry
list. 10 bucks!
A laundry
10
list.
10 bucks said you could do that.
Laundry list of topics to cover. And I thought we could approach them one at a time.
Have you ever had a laundry list? Like
no.
A grocery list.
Yeah. But today we're going to be washing the briefs. Cold, delicate.
Wonder where that term came from.
But look it up on your fancy new iPad.
Yeah, I bet the details are crisp. In
you
the
read
description
it.
Of that.
I didn't activate
you
my
can
Verizon
check all those
yet.
Serifs oh. out. So, topic number one, this is the longest-standing point of business, the Oscars.
All right. got all those right.
I think we all picked the winners for our show, but
yeah.
After that, it sort of went off the rails, I guess. I don't know.
What did? What went off
I didn't
the rails?
Pick. I didn't care. I didn't pick that much. What oh, I did yeah. pick, I kind of got wrong. What's going on, Adam? What is it the end of the world for me? The guy that used to see a movie every week didn't even care about the Oscars, which, by the way, the show was pretty terrible, I think, this year.
Yeah, it was. It, I mean, whatever.
It's fashionable to rip on Billy Crystal, but I really felt that almost every one of the jokes he took, he said either took a nosedive or just seemed way too old schooly,
right?
And not at all relevant to anything.
Yeah,
you know, not even old Hollywood.
Right. They were bad. I mean, they were. But you know, it's always Bruce Valanche making writing bad jokes for whoever. I assume it was him again.
Of course.
I don't know. Billy Crystal was in blackface.
He played it safe. That part didn't bother me.
So weird that it didn't.
But he's done that bit for years.
I've always thought it's a little unnerving.
I mean, I think it might look strange, but I don't. That one I don't find offensive. That's an impression that he has done in his stand-up routine since the 70s.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in blackface. I think they brought that in on SNL. But I don't know. There's a different connotation for me what blackface actually is, which is meant to be offensive. Which I don't think Sammy Davis
that,
Jr.
Yeah.
is offensive.
Right.
I just think why do you do a Sammy Davis Jr. joke in 2012?
You're doing a dated reference.
Who knows that?
Extremely dated.
Right. Right. Yeah. It was.
That's why they put
who's
those
next?
Best buy been dates on jokes.
Cary Grant. I mean, let's whip out our Cary Grant imitations.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm working on one right now.
Didn't every actor back there kind of always, back then, speak the same? Like that, like the actory?
Yeah, probably.
That would sound like voice. This, man. Hey. Yeah. Get your gams out of my face. I think that's how one.
And into my car. That's famous song from the 80s. Right. It wasn't a good show. I don't know that anyone. But this is every year. It kind of seems cliche to like.
Why is it so hard to just produce a nice, crisp, tight 2-hour show and be done with it?
They have to have their masturbatory session talking about how movies, you know, move us, which we know. That's why they're there. But we don't need to be told and hit over the head over and over again. And I think you need to get someone who's somewhat relevant as a host of the show who also happens to be funny.
Right.
That's what you have to have.
Yeah. I mean, Jon Stewart should probably just host that show every year.
Jon Stewart, I mean, Chris Rock was a highlight, even though he's a little edgy. He might, you know, say something insulting some of the
Howard
people.
Howard Stern for everything. Let Howard Stern do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, you could get Conan O'Brien in there.
Yeah.
Get someone that the kids like. Zach Galifianakis.
You're right. It doesn't seem like it should be difficult to get someone that's not Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
Billy
Crystal looks like he's melting.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like Clayface.
When was the last time he did something, right? I mean,
beyond the Oscars. Nothing.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Like,
he's
Curly's
kind of
gold?
In, was
that
sort of last? In retirement, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Billy Crystal had his moment. He was part of the zeitgeist of comedy for a good chunk of years, but comedy has a shelf date on it, man. I mean, it's, and we've talked about this before, you know, over time, and it's oftentimes short periods of time, people move on to different comedic tastes. I mean, it's happened with Jim Carrey. It's happened with Will Ferrell. We're probably going through that right now with the Knocked Up crew, you know, all those guys in there where, you know, we need something a little bit different because the same joke gets old over time.
Agreed.
And Billy Crystal, you know, his shelf life expired in the late 90s, and that might be generous.
Yeah.
I owe.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Maybe Don Rickles. I mean, there's a guy, and he just, you know, bitch slaps everybody.
Yeah.
His comedy doesn't expire, but.
You know, a good barb always, it's always good.
A good barb.
Quality. But sometimes you got, you know, his jokes cut like a knife a little bit.
I can't believe that we're talking about the Oscars five weeks after the Oscars.
Okay, I'm crossing it off our laundry.
Done. I didn't even watch the show.
Topic number two, Adam, you can ask questions. You did not participate. MarsCon was...
Yeah.
It was the big convention, the one of the two conventions we go to every year here in the Twin Cities. It was part of the reason why we haven't had a show. Jared had a lot of prep for that. And
we also just happened to fall on a weekend where we would have
recorded.
Technically been scheduled to do a new show. And I'm just, yeah.
So do you have any comments about...
It was interesting. So there were a lot of people were sick this year, both in our own party. Angie was on the road to recovery, and I think by Sunday she was feeling pretty decent. But she was, you know, having issues at the con. Your wife was sick.
Yeah, we actually didn't go. The first day we went for opening ceremonies, and then we went home, essentially. And then we had a hotel.
Didn't come back. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, there were people. Other people were sick all over the place in the convention. The great Luke Ski had issues. He actually went to the Minute Clinic on Saturday. He basically wasn't talking for most of the day, saving his voice for his show on Sunday.
At that Minute Clinic, do they make you do something like stack 14 golf balls before they can they can actually serve you?
It's also it's also an audition for a Minute to Win It. It's a very strange concept. But, you know, you can't beat the care.
I'm really glad.
I'm picturing a very hoarse Luke Ski trying to stack golf balls.
And Guy Fieri just yelling at him the whole time.
Come on, baby! So overall,
winner, chicken dinner.
I'm curious about your opinion of this, Shane, because I've had some people at the con who were saying it felt like it was smaller and low key this year, like there were fewer people.
I concur.
Well, they were all dying. I heard.
I didn't necessarily get that vibe, but maybe it's because.
But last year you were off on the party bus the whole time. Yeah, you weren't there the whole time.
That was inadvertent, I guess. There were definitely fewer parties.
Yeah,
there were not. I mean, if you look at the party room map, like one side of the 13th floor was all convention rooms. There were no. Parties going on. It was very strange.
Recession, guys. Recession.
I would say it's a smaller convention.
Okay.
It's skewed older. You know, sort of like
MarsCon always does.
Sort of like the people that have been there, you know. They're the ones that are there, but getting the youths.
They're not
in there.
Bringing in a younger crowd.
It's
kind
of like the comic book industry, actually.
Yeah, I'm curious what the attendance numbers are. I haven't heard of those yet, but I'm sure those are out there somewhere.
Yeah, I think overall we were probably mellower. There wasn't a lot of drinking, you know, heavy drinking going on our part. Maybe we're getting older. Maybe it was just the moment, but I certainly wasn't.
Yeah,
tanked.
I will say, I mean, Angie
had one drink the whole
Angie
time.
Angie and I stayed up, you know, pretty late on Saturday, and not just because of the time change, but it was late enough. But I had a couple drinks Saturday, but by like midnight I was done. I didn't drink anymore. It was really strange. Which is, you know, you don't have to drink to have fun. It was I was more MarsCon for me is more about hanging out with some of my musician friends that I only see once a year.
Sure.
So that was fun.
MarsCon for me is watching Jared hang out with his musician friends.
Staring. Or last year waiting for Jared to get back from the party bus.
Yeah. Yeah, Jared missed one of the most exciting, crazy times ever in any convention when he was on that party bus.
Sort of sad about that, but
it's pretty wild. Yeah, it was. I think it was a mellower experience. This was the first year that I actually saw the opening ceremony all the way through, which was written by Earl, a friend of the show, and Luke. And I have to say that I thought they knocked it out of the park. And I'm a very cynical guy. Yeah. I thought it could have easily been terrible. Not that I expect terribleness from those guys, but they did a great job.
Yep.
They kept it tight. It was funny. It was relevant. It had the voice of Earl. It had the voice of Luke. And Luke is a surprisingly good actor.
He does. He does a good job.
He plays a kind of a crazy gypsy character that
I think he was as Earl liked to call it, a minstrel.
A minstrel. He was a minstrel. He wore.
I believe the correct pronunciation is just minstrel.
I think he had sort of like genie soup. Pants, Jared. Sort of genie-esque pants without the bindings at the bottom. And he had a triangle and crazy faces.
He did have crazy
I thought
faces.
He did a good job.
Yeah.
Did a good job. So if they can continue that sort of thing in next year's MarsCon, good for them. We're losing it. He's yawning.
Sorry. No. Yeah. I don't know. We can talk. You want to talk about my musical part of it?
Yeah, we can talk about your musical part. And there's one part one part of the musical thing that I kind of... would like to say, but I just don't know if I should say it was one of my favorite moments of the show when you guys were playing and the people that were watching the show that came in. Can I talk about that, or is that a little? It's like our friends and some of the relationships our friends have had. Can I talk about all the people that were in the room at the time?
I don't. Sure.
Okay.
The way your tone seems to indicate that there's some sort of controversy
Controversial, but you are involved in this.
Okay, go ahead.
But also, I'll say it. So we were watching Jared's show.
Okay, I think I know what this is
so
about.
So we're at Jared's show, and Earl is in there, and then Earl's ex-wife is in there.
Right.
And then Earl's ex-wife's friend, who Jared used to be married to, was in there.
And also then, known as my ex-wife.
His ex-wife. Yeah, sorry. And then Jared's girlfriend was there, and Jared's mom was there, and Jared's sister was there, and then Earl's new ex is there. And all these people are sort of commingling. You know, because I thought it was very strange that you have this so tightly wound group that, you know, through our history of time.
So incestuous is the term you're looking for.
I didn't want to say it, but I'll let Adam go there.
Now, see, I'm sort of unaware of where people were in the room because I'm on stage and I'm sort of focusing on what I'm doing and I can't, like, take stock of where everyone is positioned.
Yeah.
When you say commingling, is it just the fact that they're in the same
room? Well, in the same room, but,
Was there a more finite proximity?
Well, I mean, people were sort of close to each other, like, you know, Nikki, Earl's first ex-wife, was kind of in the area where Holly was at, and, like, your ex walks by your mom, so I had to see what your mom's reaction would be to her. Daggers would be, like, your mom is the sweetest woman in the world, but I could tell that, you know, she didn't care if she saw her or not.
I'm sure she wasn't on board with the whole marriage at all, so... Anyway, that's neither here nor there. We're past that point.
I just thought it was a good deal, and I told Carrie, I said, if we ever get divorced... there's no co-mingling, you know.
Right.
You get one convention, I get the other, and that's it. There's no dating friends ever. Right. So
I don't really have any control over who shows up. So.
Yeah, I know.
You draw. That's why this is what you missed. You're supposed to drop a chart right when the breakup happens. Here's who gets what.
Yep.
I get MarsCon and Convergence.
You can go
to WonderCon.
I get Chuck E. Cheese.
WonderCon. You have to pay airfare.
Yeah.
Travel to L.A. to go to WonderCon. That's what you get.
But yeah, I thought it was just an interesting thing that everybody was there. And for the most part, everybody got along pretty well, too. So it wasn't...
I had no idea my mom was showing up, so...
Yeah, your mom was there, and it was great. I loved her.
That's nice.
I would turn around and, you know, tease her a little bit here and there. Jared would cuss on stage, and I would see mom's reaction.
Cuss.
Somebody was cussing. There was an issue about boobs.
Well, we did a song called Under Boob, which I'm like, oh, hey, mom.
Yeah.
It's all about boobs.
Yeah, it was the awesome Under Boob, and then one of the people that were watching... A friend of ours said something like, Jared's mom has the first boobs or something like that, because you were talking about boobs.
Right.
And they got a big laugh in the room. It was good. She was embarrassed.
I'm glad that somebody else was performing while we were performing. Good job.
Yes. And your mom said something very nice, which was, oh, Jared's playing the bass. Your dad would be very proud, is what she said. So.
Oh, okay. I missed that. She didn't say anything
about it. She said it was there. So I thought that was nice.
Yes.
And you did a good job. Your show was good.
Yeah.
They played a lot of songs they don't normally play. And they're down to a three-piece, so they had a totally different vibe going on.
Yeah, it was different because now John and I are switching off on bass, which is interesting. I'm finding bass to actually be a lot of fun.
Easy to master is what he was thinking.
I'm not
it's
saying
so easy
to master.
Because
I'm keeping it very simple as I still make the transition. But no, it's fun. You have a little more room to work with.
There's only four strings on the strings.
Yeah,
I'm
finding it easier to find the string I want to hit because there's a little more wiggle room, I guess.
Yeah. So I got a great idea for you.
Yeah.
Listen, hear this out. Drum machine.
Yeah.
Jared on bass.
Yeah.
John on guitar.
Yeah.
Earl Lucas on vocals. Nick Adams are back.
What?
You could play the bass for Nick Adams.
No.
I want him back. I want him back.
Hey, tweet it. Right now. Nick Adams reforming.
Beep, 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 beep. I'm hoping Jeff sticks around forever because he's a phenomenal drummer, and a lot of people have said that over the course of the
weekend.
He's
good.
He's drumming out.
Very difficult to take good pictures of him while he's drumming. He makes a lot of funny faces.
Yeah. I heard the Fump cast, this weekly podcast they do on the Fump, talking to the artists who are on there, and they were doing kind of a wrap-up of MarsCon, and they were... comments to the quality of Jeff's drumming and the fact that we sounded very tight, which was good. Impressed. I'm happy that they thought we sounded tight.
Here's the thing. Out of most of these musical acts that they have, Jared's band is the only, or one of the few, that really is a band in terms of how they... I mean, they have the equipment, they have the drums, the guitars. There's nothing electronic about it. There's no pre-recorded tracks.
Yeah.
So if you hear them, it's like the real deal. You're not getting anything with production values in that sense. It's you do what you do, and it's either good or bad. And it's it was very tight this year. So
cool. We're sort of different in how we approach it. A lot of the acts there, it's all about funny music, obviously.
Yeah.
But a lot of the acts there are kind of funny first, music second. Not that the music's bad, but it's always, you know, they've got the jokes and then the music.
Sure.
It's almost secondary sometimes. We're definitely more of the music first, funny second. So not everything we do is super, super funny.
Or I say funny eighth.
There's only two things on this list.
I put my hand up to this. They can't hear me. It's a secret.
Shane's doing an aside to the entire audience.
All the listeners, just so you know.
So anyway.
Jared didn't hear that. It was just you and me and...
That's always sort of been our approach. So, you know, for us to do it as a live band is just much more fulfilling than trying to play to a backing track. So, anyway.
It was good. And one final thing, if I may switch off the music.
Sure.
We didn't talk about the special guest of MarsCon.
Who was that?
Their guest of honor was...
The Consortium of Genius, otherwise known as COG.
I was going to say the Star Trek cast member.
I thought we were talking musical guests.
No, I was moving on. But you can talk about COG if you like.
I don't really know that much about them, although they put on like a full multimedia show. They've got, like, what, 5, 6, 7 people on stage, and they're all in costumes and characters.
A holographic drummer.
I think they do a really good job.
Yeah, they do all right.
You know, it's it may or may not be your type of performance, but I think from a technical standpoint, they're fantastic.
And they sell it. They sell what they're putting out there. So you have to. You have to buy into it 100%, otherwise it looks sillier than what it could already look. So,
yep.
The guest of honor was none other than Tasha Yar.
Who's that?
From Star Trek The Next Generation.
Which lady?
Denise Crosby. She was in the first season. And then
blonde, short hair.
And then she was the security officer. And then they killed her off because I'm assuming she did not want to be on the show. Is that what it was?
Something like that, yeah.
And they ended up bringing her back here and there for guest appearances. But I thought it was one of the bigger guests that they've had.
And she was sort of a last-minute fill-in,
yeah,
too, because
someone else couldn't
be on there.
She was on our floor. We were on the deluxe floor. And so we would see her from time to time. And she was very nice. And Earl and John practically made out with her. They were hanging out with her quite a bit for a good portion of the Saturday night. They got video, and she came across a very nice person.
When you say practically made out, like do you define?
They were hugging, and they were doing this bit, like a video for William Shatner, actually.
Okay.
He had asked Denise to be on a show of his, but she was here. So she decided to film a video with Earl, who was dressed up as William Shatner, to send back to Bill, as they like to say.
Ah.
And it was kind of a funny little thing. But it was good. I mean, overall, it was a good convention. Not too wild. We'll see how Convergence treats us, which is looking to be
size-wise, how much bigger is Convergence usually than MarsCon?
Oh, 10 times bigger?
No,
I mean,
not 10
it's
times.
18 times bigger? It's very big.
MarsCon tends to be in the 700s, I think, for attendance. Convergence is right around 4,000.
Is it only 4,000?
If not cresting 4,000. I think 5,000 is probably the max the hotel will even accept.
Gotcha.
Because I know Anime Detour sells out every year, and I think they're right around 5,000. They cap the sales. Pre-sales are gone, and you cannot get in after that.
It's pretty crazy.
But, yeah, so...
It's a completely different thing.
What's the math on that?
Oh, okay.
Six times larger? I don't know.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not even crunching numbers.
5.5 times larger.
It's a lot bigger.
It's a lot bigger. But we'll see what MarsCon does. I mean, I think this is a transitionary year for them, and I think
there was some. If you're friends with people on Facebook and stuff, you might have caught wind of certain sort of political disruptions within the ConCom committee and people quitting and stuff. So, yeah, I think when you say transitional year, you're definitely right. We'll see what happens after this.
I'm somewhat surprised that with a convention like that, they don't have a lot of those types of convention here in the city, Twin Cities.
Yeah, more than you think.
But are there other ones that are bigger than MarsCon that are similar to Convergence? Because I would say MarsCon is...
I mean, Anime Detour is your closest one.
Yeah, and that's all anime stuff.
Yeah, but it still has the same sort of vibe as Convergence.
From
what I understand.
It's
the same hotel.
What I was getting at is I'm surprised that you don't have more people that maybe aren't into anime that would want to get that convention feel of Convergence.
Yeah.
And do it in the spring or late winter. But
I
think every year it seems to be a little bit less, so I just don't know. I don't know what the deal is. Don't have an answer.
I don't know. I think I don't know that perception necessarily meets reality in this regard, because I don't think the numbers are are trending down in any great significant number for MarsCon. I think they've actually been holding steady or ticking up just slightly. But
well, that's good. Maybe
it's maybe
just
it's
less
just
parties.
How they present it. Yeah. It's not as doesn't seem like it's such as big a deal. I don't know, but.
Do you have a preview for Convergence? You're going to be performing at Convergence this year?
I responded to them last year when they asked if any, you know, they just put the mass email out about people wanting to perform again. I haven't heard anything back yet, so we'll see. I wouldn't be sad if we didn't perform this year. I wouldn't mind a year off where I didn't have to haul gear out there. And we don't, it's not like we have a new album or anything that we're promoting, so it wouldn't be a huge lot. I always like to perform, but if it didn't happen, this year is not a big deal. I've sort of taken a different approach in 2012. It's going to be less performances at cons and stuff like that, and we're focusing on getting a new album done.
More sexual.
Doing video stuff. But I'm kind of, it's unofficially for me the year of content production.
Here's my idea for you.
Which is the opposite of what we're doing on the Scope.
Here's what you
know. The Scope is involved in those plans, by the way.
Set up 100 mousetrap games.
Oh, about just mousetraps instead? 100 mousetraps.
Just set up 100 mousetraps and do your video to those going off.
I like it.
Interesting.
There you go. You can do it in slow motion like that California song.
We found you a music video producer right here, this guy. He's got a new iPad.
I want to see sexy. He can do it. Sexy. Is that the director or the producer? Who says that?
Either. They both do. You know, the lines blur.
All right. We've kind of gotten off the MarsCon path. What's next?
Here's
on your
a quick
bullet
one.
List.
I've got one of the main reasons why there hasn't been any Scope, the game that's ruined my life, Skyrim.
Sex change. Everyone has a sex change. What?
Skyrim has ruined my life, Adam.
You like it?
I play it all the time. I can't stop playing it.
I don't get it. I don't know. I don't get it either. Bored with it really quick. See, I was into it for a good 2 weeks, and I was like, this is stupid.
What level did you get to?
21, probably.
See, I'm about 29, 20, 30. I'm done with two-thirds of the main quest.
This is the game. Just you move your arms.
What's your verbal acuity score? Is that a thing?
They do have a speech in there, and I'm not super high on that. Right. I'm more of a...
What did you make your character? What kind of an attacker is he?
He is... I'm very solid with the one-handed weapons.
And the shield?
Not as much with the shield, magic. I like to do fireballs, magic, that
fireballs,
sort of thing.
Yep.
And
like
healing.
To run around with your two hands in front of you?
I tend to do the third person, so it's usually, I have a glass mace, which is a nice, powerful little weapon. And yeah, I kind of like just, you know, leveling up and that sort of thing.
Right.
You know,
are you just doing side quests, or are you doing the main?
I'm at level 29, and I've done two-thirds of the main quest. Okay. I just finished the second act, so I'm, you know, probably a good 15 hours left of it, if you just do that. Like, the second-to-last mission for the second act put you through this dungeon, which just took forever. I mean, that was one of the things, like, man, this is a little too much for me.
You could save after any fight.
But I just, once you kind of get into a dungeon, I don't like to stop until I'm done with that.
It seems like you're fighting all the same bad guys. Always Daedra, nonstop.
Sure.
The undead mummy.
Yeah, they change up a little bit. There's elves and dwarves and orcs that come out a little bit later to play. Mm. I mean, it's fun.
I don't know. I have a hard time. I have a real hard time with open world games. Like, I need to just focus on one thing.
Sure.
Is the only way I can.
Yeah, there's
really
a million things, Jared. I mean, you have, you know, 100 caves in there that each have their own mission.
Wow.
Then you have another 30 towers that might have their. I mean, it's stuff you have to discover. It's unbelievable. I mean, you could probably play that game for 250 hours.
But what is it about the game that has you locked in its grasp?
Is it the terrible combat? Is it the terrible speech? Is it the terrible animation in third person?
Anything that's
before
terrible.
You answer that, I'm curious of where Adam's coming from. Are you a fan of the Elder Scrolls games in general or not?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I've never been able to play any of them.
Okay.
This one, the fact that I could play it for 2 weeks and liked it, you know, up until I got bored, meant they're getting closer. But, like, I can't really play the Fallout game. Same thing.
Like, I don't like Fallout.
You like a little bit more, like a little more structure, a little more like you need to go here at this point.
I have a hard time with open world in general.
I kind of agree.
And the combat is not good in any of these games. It's better in Skyrim than it has been in any of the other ones, but it's still like...
I don't find the combat any more jarring than what you would find like in Grand Theft Auto.
Well, Grand Theft Auto is terrible too.
Yeah, but I love Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with what you say. I think the combat is passable.
So back to my question, though.
I like the big open world. I think the graphics overall are good.
It seemed like it was a lot of gray.
Yeah, it that is
gray and brown.
Yeah. I agree with you. The color palette's a little subdued. That was my issue when I got the first demo of it from our friend John at his party. I'm like, this doesn't look like anything I want to play. It looks like gray pixels running around. But once you sort of get into it, or at least I got into it, I was taken by it. I liked the goal oriented stuff where there's always things you can do to improve,
yeah.
And it's going to make you better. Where it isn't quite the same in a lot of
inventory
games, anyway.
Stuff.
Inventory is a bother. Yeah. Yes, that's.
I don't like games that have encumbrance. Like as soon as you start running at 1/10 the speed because you have an extra pound of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a pain to have to go through.
To go through and go. I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. If you are into those sort of games, it's what you have there,
right.
You know,
right.
And you just get used to it. I don't play those games normally. I probably won't play any other games like this, with the exception of maybe a sequel to this, which will come out in 5 years or whatever it is.
When the Game of the Year edition comes out, like on PC,
mm-hmm.
maybe I'll and it goes on sale on Steam, and like it always inevitably does. Maybe I'll buy that. Because, I mean, people love it, so, like, I want to see, you know, like, where it was going and everything.
And buggy. I mean, this game's that big, you can get crazy bugs. I just had one today before I came over. I was fighting this, you know, the final mission in the second act, and I'm fighting this dragon, and the dragon is frozen in the sky. Can't move. So I destroy it, thinking, oh, you know, it's going to be really easy, but after you destroy him, part of the thing you have to do is interact with him, but he's floating in the sky, so you can't get to him. So I had to start over and fight him again. And, you know, stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? Yep. What are you going to do?
I ran into a couple of those, too.
Yeah. You just reset and go start over, so not that big of a deal. Okay, well, Adam, not into Skyrim. I know a lot of other people that are. Walking Dead finale is on my list. Did you watch it, Adam?
I have not watched since the end of season one.
Are we in the realm of spoilers?
Sure, the spoiler alert.
Yeah.
We're going to spoil it.
Yeah.
Jared and I talked about it. You want us to spoil it?
That's fine. I'm not going to watch that show.
Okay.
So it ends, the season finale ends with the...
The farm is under siege.
Right. Yes.
I've seen that clip. Shooting the shotgun that has unlimited bullets in it.
Yeah, the Herschel shotgun. He probably shot 20 shots out of that.
Yes. That bothered me a little bit. But, I mean, he did pause to reload at one point.
Okay.
But...
I found, full disclosure, I like the finale. I mean, I'm sort of the point with Walking Dead is that I realize that they're not always going to do smart things, and it's going to fall into some of the traps that any good or any bad zombie movie often does. People will do stupid things. You'll have unlimited ammo, things like that. It's just the nature of it. Keep in mind that I've been reading the Walking Dead graphic novels. I've just finished 4. They do stupid things in those things too. So it's not like that is the benchmark for all realism. There has yet to be a perfectly real zombie accounting. Maybe with the exception of World War Z is probably the closest as you're going to get.
I think sometimes when you're getting into creative works like this, if everyone did the right thing and the smart thing, you'd have a pretty fucking boring story.
Maybe,
but because there's going to be a lot of caution and there's going to be a lot of like hunkering down in a bunker.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not an interesting story.
Or we'll cover ourselves with zombie guts every time, because then they'll never know we're there.
Yeah.
You know, if we need to move, that's what we do. But
I think that where this show deviates from that is that characters that have a predefined, or, you know, like, you understand their motivation, their characteristics, then randomly the next episode they're like dicks all of a sudden,
yeah.
Or whatever. Or, you know, that seemed like some of the weird aspects of it.
But I understand what Jared's saying, that you have to have you have to have convoluted drama to move the story
along.
Even if
it's engineered.
Yeah, and World War Z gets around that by telling like micro stories of different people, and
they're going to completely ruin when they make the movie.
They've got overwhelming numbers against them, so you can't be as cautious as you want to be because there's a million zombies walking towards you.
Right.
They can't do that in Walking Dead because you just don't have the money to do something like that, because they probably would. I mean, I think that's the more compelling story. You know, what would people do if this were real?
Yeah. Do you think in Canada they call it World War Zed?
Probably.
That's a much cooler name.
They probably do.
Zed's dead, baby.
But the season finale introduces the storyline of the prison kindly coming into play, and it introduces the comic favorite character. I don't even know how it's pronounced. Is it Michonne?
I think it's Michonne, yeah.
Michonne, who is a katana-wielding badass chick who also has two zombies chained to her that are armless and jawless, so they cannot hurt anyone, but they also will ward away other zombies because the stench is there. So So they introduced that one in a really cool way.
I think it's interesting that they don't even bother anymore. Like, they just hang out with her.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're not chasing after her.
Like, they've realized, we're not going to get anywhere. Let's just...
Yeah, they just follow behind her. You know, I was thinking, like, if you do something like that, you have to have those like, pet control sticks, you know, where you put the noose on them, and they're actually a rod where they can only get so far. That's what I was thinking. She some sort of contraption.
Yeah.
But no such luck. It's just regular chains. But I liked it. I think that it sets up things for season three. Hopefully, they'll be a little smarter. But I'm not holding my breath.
Some of the advanced press has indicated that the pace of the show is definitely going to be faster. They want every episode to have a punch to the gut. You know, I think they've taken the criticism of the first half of season two, where there was just a lot of
nothing,
a lot of talky, a lot of nothing going on, a pointless search for Sophia. I get that set up the mid-season break finale. Going so many episodes without finding her, and then you suddenly see her, you know, as a zombie. It's like, oh, that's a huge reveal, and it's a great punch, but we didn't need to go six episodes to get there. I'm sorry.
And so, keep in mind, Herschel's Farm in the comic, if you want reference, was like three issues. Yeah. It was not. It was interesting, but it wasn't a focal point.
And
not to say the show should follow that, but
that's a construct of budget constraints.
Yeah,
honestly,
saving money,
so we can stay in one location and shoot most of the season. That's much cheaper than having to run around the whole countryside.
I think with the insane ratings that the show is getting, or for cable, they may want to kick them a few more bucks to do what they need to do.
Yeah,
come on.
AMC's been weird about money.
They're really weird
in the past year or so.
So that's all right. Mad Men's back this weekend.
So we'll have to see how that goes.
It's from everything I read. It seemed like they maybe were going to start focusing on fewer characters going forward in The Walking Dead. So that I think that's probably helpful too. You know, when you have
that's something that goes against the entire grain of the comic, because the comic is tons of characters, tons of people die.
Yep. I was disappointed. Now, I had heard in advance of the season finale that there were going to be just lots of deaths, and this group was going to be completely transformed. They kind of killed off the people who we didn't really even remember their names, and that was about it.
Yep.
I'm like, kill off T-Bone, kill off Andrea, kill off somebody who is sort of at least core. And they didn't do that. They already killed off Dale and Shane, so.
I think T-Bone
is going to have,
there's a character in the comic called, his name is Tyrese.
Yeah.
Who is, he's like the big, big badass black guy that is T-Bone, essentially. I think that he has a big role in the prison. And I think that...
So T-Bone may fill that role?
I think T-Bone's real name might... I don't think they ever said it, but I think his real name might be Tyrese, and that's that character. It just makes sense to me, because I don't know why they would bring in another big bad black guy who has a very important role in the comic.
You heard it here first, everyone. Shane only wants one black guy for
the black
show.
Guy. That's it.
Wow.
And if they could have Billy Crystal in blackface do it, I would, because, you know, he's got it down. He's got the dialect down.
Well, we all know that one black guy per group definitely reflects the social organization of this country, especially in the South.
Right. Yep. Atlanta and Georgia.
In hot Atlanta.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay. Jared watched it. I did. Adam did not. Next. This is my final thing, Jared.
Is there something that all three of us can participate in?
No.
Community?
Well, I got two things.
All right. Community. Go ahead.
The first one, this was only an Adam and Shane thing.
Both versions of Michael Jackson.
Adam, I bought a new comic last week. It was the comic called Saga.
Uh-huh.
It's the Brian K. Vaughan, the guy that did Why the Last Man, Lost Writer. Did you buy it?
I did not.
He's also a writer on The Wonder Years, I believe. I'm just kidding. Just making shit up.
He also got his lower two ribs removed so he can suck his own dick.
Wow! Yeah.
That's crazy. So you're going to pick that up?
I am. I read a review on the AV Club.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the story is, Jared, it's kind of like...
I'm checking to see if I can get it in Comixology.
It's a story of an alien world or alien worlds.
What's it called? Saga?
Saga.
All right.
Two alien species. One is looks like a goat, a humanoid goat, who have the power of magic. The other is a winged, like a bat-winged humanoid that they have the power of technology. And they're at war. And Romeo and Juliet type story. Two people from each race get together, have a baby, and shit happens, essentially. So then you've got bounty hunters that are after them, trying to kill them. Very, very interesting. A lot of other stuff that I won't even get in to try to explain. You have to kind of read it. But I thought it was a great start to the story. The artwork is beautiful. And Brian K. Vaughan's Why the Last Man was a pretty good book overall.
Yeah, I like his original stuff, I think, more than when he... Because he did Which Spider-Man?
He wrote Ultimate? No, he didn't write Ultimate. He was writing the Ultimate Universe. So
oh, okay.
Brian Bendis wrote
that's,
Ultimate.
That's what I'm thinking of, yeah. I think I like his original stuff more than when he takes over for an existing franchise.
Sure. It. It's an Image comic book, $2.99
yep.
for high quality paper.
Or digital.
Digital, there it is. Jared's got it right there.
I didn't download it. I just saw the preview image.
But I really enjoyed it, so I would give that a thumbs up. Finally, I don't think this is in your notes, Adam, but I will throw it out. I just saw this on the way over. Here's more breaking news. Hunger Games predicted to make $155 million
Holy
this weekend.
It is in my news,
balls.
So I have to cross that off.
Cross that off.
Well, you can go into details.
Do you want to see this movie? Did you read the book?
I have not read the book. Mandy said she, I think today, she's going to go buy the first one and maybe read it over the weekend. And
this weekend? That's fast.
She said it's a quick read.
Our friend Molly of the show, mm-hmm. talked about this book years ago when I used to work with her, and I sort of poo-pooed it as Twilight, but... I kind of want to read it, and I kind of want to see the movie.
I definitely want to see the movie.
Harry Potter for girls, yeah. but mostly
more violent.
Harry Potter just in general. But yeah, with not wizardy stuff, with mm-hmm. more Lord of the Ringsy type adventure.
It's a dystopian future film, which right. I always am immediately attracted to. So
because that's where Jared wants life to go. He's part of the ruling class.
I want to live in the capital. What can I say?
Yes.
technology.
I want to... So no one here has read any of them?
No.
Nope. Okay.
Yeah, Mandy and I were going to go see it this weekend, but it looks like it's going to be too crazy, just annoying. So we're going to go see...
Jump Street?
No. Jeff Who Lives at Home, which is... what's his face from How I Met Your Mother? Muppet guy?
Yeah.
Jason Segel.
Jason Segel
and what's his face from The Office.
Yes. Good old what's his face?
He's on all the shows.
Toby.
I wish there was a show that a show or a movie.
I forget.
That
I just read
Toby.
The review not too long
Toby
ago.
Toby and Rory.
Replay, I forget.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Well, Jared and I are talking about doing a good old fashioned 18 movie weekend because there's so much stuff coming out and we're missing.
21 Jump Street. Want to see the Hunger Games? American Reunion.
Coming Avenger. I was telling you, we saw commercials for the Avengers, so it's real. It's actually going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, you mean not just trailers? Like
actual TV say coming. A lot of stuff to pay attention to. Scope's got a lot.
I like that there was a possibility that the Avengers wouldn't actually come out.
Well, I thought it was all, smoke and mirrors,
Still don't really know who the bad guys are.
No, and we...
That's okay.
Besides
we don't need
Loki.
To know. Yeah, we don't need to know.
All
right. Some surprises are good.
Jared, I got one more phrase for you, then we'll leave it alone.
Okay.
Fat Lantern! Fat Lantern was one of the people that was at MarsCon.
He was a fat Green Lantern?
Yes.
All right. It's a good name for him. I mean, it was your name for him, is what it was, though? Was he calling himself Fat Lantern?
My guess is he probably wasn't calling himself Fat Lantern.
Like, was the,
I think he thought a lot of him.
Was the Green Lantern Corps logo, like, all stretched out?
It was, and he was wearing, like, one of the, the colored...
Racist, okay.
Green Lantern outfits. I think it was red.
Tony Partington had some good advice, I think, in the...
He did. Like, Tony Partington was speaking to Fat Lantern. Like, when he uses his power ring, it's always, like, a green hoagie. A giant hoagie.
This is...
Like that Shaggy would eat in Scooby-Doo.
Right. There
we go. Stack it up real high, and then he just...
You know,
put it in his mouth.
It's not... You probably shouldn't, like, make fun of people who are comfortable enough to dress up like that. But there's... I'm not a skinny guy. We'll just say that. And so...
Would you wear a Green Lantern outfit?
This is what I'm getting to. I don't do cosplay of certain things because I don't want to be... I don't want to be Fat Lantern. I don't want to be Fat Luke Skywalker. It's like there are characters I would like to make cosplay
for. Large Skywalker.
Exactly.
Wow.
There are characters I would love to cosplay as, but I would just am not in the physical shape to do it and to do it right. I don't know. I wish some other people had more body awareness.
And to be fair, Jared, I mean, anybody that's brave enough to do that, okay, I got to give you a couple points to do that.
Sure.
But this guy's kind of a douchebag. He's sort of an asshole.
Could you see his dong? How was the dong? Was it? Like,
I'm not looking, but I, if it were me, I'd be blowing out. I'd blowing out the pants because
right.
me. But I mean, it wasn't notable.
I think you're always, and when you're wearing a costume like that, that's form fitting. I think you're always doing yourself a favor as a man to wear a dance belt.
Dance belt?
You're packing, yeah.
What's a dance belt?
It's like what male ballet dancers wear. And makes the package look huge.
Is it like a strap-on?
Like a cup?
It's sort of like a cup.
Okay.
But it keeps your stuff all contained, so you're not nobody can see the highlights.
You don't want to have like a nubbin there or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Like when Earl was wearing a Skeletor costume.
Or you don't want to get.
He probably should have had a dance belt.
You don't want to get a boner. And
he should have had like dance slacks on, as far as I'm concerned. Forget the belt. Suspend dance.
Fire up your Google, look up dance belt, and then be revolted.
He should have dance belt and suspenders.
Anyway, right. And maybe some vents. What's left?
There's nothing else to cover. That's
all right.
It. So let's take a quick break, listen to some music.
Wait, before you do.
Come on, Adam. This is a professional
when
show.
You go to buy your dance
so
belt,
the Skyrim.
Do use our affiliate code on Amazon before you do this.
Click on the link on the website.
First person that buys a dance belt in...
and it owns up, and owns
through
up to
the
it.
Scope account, we'll give you a special price.
It's an actual thing. I'm not. It's not like I'm making it up.
Snow like a boss, Jared. Let's take a break.
Right? You don't even want to set it up at all?
We'll be back after this.
Okay.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
From 89.3, the current Song of the Day feed. That's a song from the band called Free Energy. It's called Electric Fever. I don't have any idea when it actually starts because it's a bunch of noise, and I'll just keep talking until it up. Let's go!
Under the scope.
And we are back. The Fat Lantern Corps.
Wow. It lives on.
Adam, I don't know what he's up to. He's got no headphones on.
Yeah, I can hear you.
He's struggling with his iPad cover.
Oh, he's going vertical. There. Oh, nope, he's going horizontal. He doesn't know he's doing everything.
Designed by Apple in California.
Yeah.
Assembled in China. Sauce on side, Adam. Sauce on side. Guess what time it is, Adam?
The helicopter sound.
It's your time to shine, lest you think we weren't doing news. We are.
Is that breaking news? That's the breaking news sound.
It's nothing but breaking news. Right. Adam, we've covered about 8 of your stories, so this should be a tight bit.
All right. What?
Go.
You know, we were talking about pirating earlier today when we were discussing.
I'm glad you said that because I have a side.
Okay.
Related to pirating after your story.
Okay. A UK student who's never been to the U.S. before, never actually committed a crime in the United States, is facing extradition from the United Kingdom to the U.S. To face copyright infringement charges. Mm. He ran the site TV Shack, a website that carried links to copyrighted TV shows, torrents specifically. He faces multiple years in jail. In the U.S. and the British government has said they're going to ship him over here.
So what does that mean?
He's going to have to go to American jail.
American jail,
even though he's never been to America. I mean, you can't really commit a crime in America.
In the world of digital, it's everywhere.
Well, I understand that, but the laws need to maybe catch up.
The laws have to catch up.
Extradition is controversial because under certain circumstances, merely linking to copyright material isn't an offense in the UK. In 2010, a linking website TV Links was deemed to be a mere conduit of information, and its admins were acquitted in the UK. So that's why...
That's why they're bringing them here.
The companies have been probably pressuring the FBI to get him extradited to try him here.
So is this just another good reason to hate Obama? He's behind this, right?
There's a lot of reasons. He's in big Hollywood's big pockets, right?
Oh, my God.
Also black.
Wow.
Probably Billy Crystal in disguise.
But he could fill out a Green Lantern costume.
There's not an extra ounce of fat on him.
No.
And he wouldn't need a dance belt. it goes all the right places, baby.
Oh, he's got that shit under control.
He wouldn't be president if he didn't. So is there any more to the story, or can I ask you?
No, go for it.
Okay, so I read this thing. It was tweeted by I think John Norton might have tweeted this. I don't know.
Tweeted? Explain.
It's this crazy thing. You should get it on your iPad.
Go on.
It's the resolution would be
the
great.
Twitter app for this is bullshit, by the way. The default Twitter app.
It's strange.
It's terrible. It doesn't even fill up the whole screen.
You sort of have to... I don't like some of the interface on it, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about copyright issues.
I kind of like the pains and the swiping. And
no.
All right.
You're wrong.
Listen.
You get used to it.
So I saw this...
It gets better.
Saw this...
Have you done the 4 or 5 finger gestures yet?
They're awesome. I use those all the time.
What are you trying to do?
The multi-gestures.
Looks like he's trying to dribble.
you can swipe between your apps. You can swipe up to get to your multitasking bar. And you can
Adam's trying to do a free throw.
You can do a 4-finger pinch, and it goes back to your home screen.
I've never done that.
You have to turn it on. It's not on by default.
Oh, I can't just go like this. Nothing's happening, Jared.
No, I mean...
Hey, Jared, what's
you
this?
Have to turn the feature on.
I mean, in your settings, you have to turn... It's not on by default. Oh. So if you haven't turned on the multi-touch gesture, whatever... Advanced gestures or some shit.
This is a brain sucker starving. Remember that joke?
Wow.
So, pirating.
You know what's a good joke is when you have to say remember that joke.
Yeah. I'm sort of the captain. I'm not the entertainment on this cruise.
Okay.
So I'm just steering us in the right direction. So I saw this.
Who would be the cruise director?
I don't know.
Probably me.
Probably me. God is my cruise director.
Who would be our Julie is what you're saying?
Yeah, and I think Adam is Isaac the bartender.
I think he's more of a gopher.
You think so?
He's more of a gopher.
I mean, we're all going to have to fill multiple
roles.
Is this
the love boat? Is that what this is?
Okay.
Captain
Stubing. This existed before you were born.
Listen.
Yeah, pirating.
So I saw this article.
John Norton.
Talking about how ISPs.
Yes, July 1st.
Are on board. What is, explain this. So they're saying that they will get you.
Yep.
For every time you... download something illegal, they're going to send a warning to you. Please explain this to me, Adam.
They are allowed to come to your house in the middle of the night and take a testicle each time you're caught.
Wow.
No dance belt needed after that.
Hence the phrase, three strikes and you're out. Exactly. You're out of testicles.
Third one.
Unless you're one of those
third
extra
one, it's
people.
The ding dong.
Wow.
No, tell me, Adam. Get to the bottom of this.
Basically, start the RIAA and MPAA have convinced ISPs to start sending out letters to their users instead of like doing lawsuits and having to like go through that whole thing. They're going to start working with ISPs to send out letters as like the initial thing if you're caught pirating. And then you'll eventually kind of work your way up to more and more severe punishment. And I think right now they're saying six strikes and you're out. So we'll see how that goes.
So what does this mean to a guy like, say, you?
I don't torrent stuff, so it means nothing to me.
Hmm.
But to people that torrent stuff, it probably means...
Stop torrenting.
Either stop torrenting or figure out how to... mask your IP when you're torrenting.
What if you go through a proxy service?
You're probably okay, but I don't know. Don't sue the Scope. The Scope and its opinions are not shared by the Scope Industries LLC.
So let me ask you a question:
that's a key. You got to set up an LLC so you have limited liability. Yeah.
Is this a game changer for the world of piracy? I mean, overall, in the bigger picture, is this really a big deal?
I'm probably not. I don't know how many people really torrent.
There's always a way. The pirates are like three steps ahead of the industry. I mean, there's always a way around it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think we'll see. In maybe late summer or early fall, like what the actual fallout.
Yeah, because that's supposed to be till like the summer when all the ISPs have their infrastructure in place to do this.
Right.
But like I said, the pirates are ahead of it. I mean, Pirate Bay doesn't have torrent files anymore. They have Megdit links, which don't link to, it's not a link to any file, so they're trying to get around to that. They don't want to be busted for linking to copyrighted material.
Yep. The Pirate Bay wants to fund a low Earth orbit satellite.
I know, it's crazy.
To hold their servers basically in international waters, permanently.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's all talk until I see some actual action.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep the Scope's investigative team will keep an eye. I'm just curious about it.
You going to jail? Is that what you're?
No
basically,
way.
I'd say you're probably in the most trouble if you torrent your porn, because those people will probably those guys would go after it faster than the MPAA even would.
You think so? I'm not into that. No doubt about it.
All I do is torrent porn. I don't even watch it. I just like
he just
torrent.
Wants it. He wants a giant collection. All right. Well, thank you for that update.
You're
continue
welcome.
On with your news.
Did you hear about the story about Facebook?
Yes.
This week,
it's a great story.
Employers.
I heard about Facebook. Oh yeah.
Employers.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear this.
There's some employers out there that have started requiring usernames and passwords of their prospective employees that mark their profiles as private.
What do you think of that?
It's
stupid. Bullshit, and it violates Facebook's terms of use, which doesn't really mean anything in the real world. But.
There's a lot of real issues that come into this. Well, first of all,
talk us through.
Okay.
Talk us through this, like a Dr. Oz would talk us through a colonoscopy.
Okay. So, the pink goo that comes out, it's not good. The biggest issue...
It's edible,
and Facebook,
but it's disgusting.
Facebook brought this up. Basically, they said...
Just like Facebook.
employers are actually opening themselves up to... discrimination lawsuits by doing this because your protected class statuses are in your Facebook profile, your age, which they can't ask you mm-hmm. in an interview, your race, ethnicity, your handicaps, and all these things are protected statuses. So by someone asking for this information and logging into your account, they now see all that stuff.
Yeah.
And if you don't get hired, you could plausibly sue because of that. So, Facebook like sent out this big thing, like basically stating like you guys are opening yourselves up to issues more than anything else. Also, it's protected. There's people have privacy. Like employers don't say, okay, I want to hire you.
I don't
I'm
owe
come
you
to your house
you.
Now. And check
I would like
out
to
stuff.
See all of your vacation photos.
Yeah,
right.
And all they're worried about is, are you disparaging your prior employee? Or are you doing something illegal?
Right.
Correct?
Are you smoking weed all the time? Are you drinking?
No. I mean, they could be looking at what your political affiliations are.
Sure, I guess
that's
what
they could be.
Yeah, anything.
Right. If we want to look at this from like the best possible scenario. They're just like trying to make sure you're not a fuck up. But at the same time, if you are smart enough to block your profile,
yes,
then you're doing the right thing. You're keeping your private things private. So it shouldn't even be, you know, even a possible scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
I mean, if they go to your profile and they see it's wide open and there's you, you know, doing a beer bong at the party, yeah, last weekend, they can probably assume, well, this guy isn't too aware of how people perceive him or how to lock down things that people shouldn't see. Right. So mm-hmm. we don't want to hire him.
Exactly. So Facebook also they've like made it known. They basically publicly released their intentions of potentially suing companies that do this under Privacy Rights Acts, and they've said we're not doing this. We're not actually, you know, intending to sue anyone. But you know, here's the different areas that employers would be open to us suing them for doing this, and other social networks obviously could be doing the same thing. Basically just to, you know, kind of hopefully put the end to it happening. They're like, there's going to be Senate hearings next week on it. So
because the Senate's got to get involved in every fucking thing that comes up for whatever reason.
Here we go.
Whoa.
Get involved in making jobs.
Bountygate. They're getting involved in Bountygate.
That always happens.
And don't get me started on the naming of scandals as Gates.
Yeah, there's no Gates.
Gate. Bill Gates is Gate.
So, Adam, you're up for a job that's going to increase your yearly salary by 50%.
Yep.
They want to look at your Facebook. What do you do?
Well, if I was looking for a job, I would actually delete my Facebook profile during the time I'm searching for it. Because
that's
when you reactivate it, all your stuff's still there.
It's a good idea.
So that's what I would actually be doing during any of those. Because then when they search,
this guy's always got an angle, doesn't he?
Yep. Right. What would you do with your Hype Machine account?
Hype?
That one I'd fucked on.
He'd open it. Okay, here is a mashup between Flo Rida,
yeah,
and
Desi Arnaz.
I mean, this is big.
Yeah,
we're going big.
Yeah, I'd probably delete
from F Troop.
I would delete all of my social network accounts other than like LinkedIn, right? Because that's, you know, you're not posting dick pics on that.
So let's say you didn't do that.
I don't think I'm posting anything on LinkedIn.
Let's say let's say this was a once in a lifetime that just happened overnight. Would you open yourself up to that? Once life. That's not fair, but
yeah,
let's just say.
Sure. You're saying that, like, at work tomorrow, someone taps me on the shoulder and they're like, hey, we want to interview you for a new job. Come with us right now for the interview. And then in the interview, they say they want, what do I care? If I don't get the job because of it, that'd be stupid. But I don't really want to work for companies that are doing that anyway. And I mean, other than me bitching about, you know, the country or whatever, like, I'm not saying anything disparaging or anything like that. I guess I said fag a whole bunch, but that's like in a...
Well, that's everybody does that.
Sorry. Like, I'm doing that in a, you know, what's it called?
A
satirical way.
It's all satirization, Jared.
Yeah. I like to say contextually relevant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can't say it, though.
Yeah, I don't put anything on my Facebook that's anything close to political.
Your Facebook is just full of, I'm tired.
Yeah, that's me. I'm tired.
Back at it, guys.
That's a good one. That's a good one for me. And I don't. I so rarely
remember that thing, guys.
Yeah, I so rarely complain about work. I mean, it's a once in a blue moon that I wouldn't have a problem.
I never
showing.
Complain about work in social media.
I just don't talk about work. It's just it's like you need to know better.
I've posted.
So I wouldn't have a problem people seeing it, but just the idea of opening yourself up to stuff like that really bothers me. It's
posted,
why do you need to know that?
Like positive things, like our
I love
office.
My job. Yay!
Well, our office has been featured in like a couple of news articles, and there was a story about. Remember a few like last year when
here we go. Look how great his job is, Jared.
When
I know it's great.
When the
his Facebook profile
is completely unrelated to that, but when. Not Coon Rapids, shit. What's the city? Lionel Lakes made English their official language last year, and like it was all controversial.
You loved it.
So my CEO was interviewed for that because we have a lot of non-English speaking people in our company, you know, to kind of talk about how it's damaging and how it's silly to do. Like, you know, we should be trying to, you know, work with.
So you're not going to get that
cultures.
Job for Rush Limbaugh Industries, is what you're saying.
No. Not this time around.
Did you post all those stories that led to the rules for Rape Tag?
Wow. No, I did not. That I broke that news here.
You're breaking news. So no. That's all we do, Jared, is we break news here.
I didn't know there are rules
break
for
it
Rape
in
Tag.
Half. Right over my knee.
All right, next story. Enough of this. Enough of this knee-breaking nonsense.
Remember Kazakhstan? It's a real country.
Oh, yes.
They're nice.
What's the... Yeah, Busta there you chit. Go. The one thing you remember about Kazakhstan Busta is that chit. It's where Borat was from.
Yipsies
so,
with...
last week,
Yipsy.
Kazakhstan's shooting team was awarded a gold medal in international games in Kuwait.
This is what I like about the news. Adam is actually reading the stories that I've seen the headlines do, but didn't bother to read. This is great.
You're the lazy one, Jared. That's why you don't do news.
During the medal ceremony.
I know.
When they went to go play the Kazakhstan national anthem. Instead, they accidentally played the Borat, the fake song.
Oh,
in
that
Borat.
Is hilarious.
Oh, wow.
And how did that go over?
Really, really poorly. The team asked for an apology, and the medal ceremony was later rerun. The team's coach told Kazakh media that the organizers had downloaded the parody from the internet by mistake. The song was produced by Sacha Baron Cohen for the film. Yeah.
Aren't there, like, official channels through which they can get a national anthem?
I like that they just Googled
I'm just gonna go to the
Kazakh national anthem.
I'm just going to pirate that off of the internet. I'm going to get the torrent of that.
They don't have media for music in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
Right. They actually have to get a band.
It's all orally told.
That's a great oral tradition.
I thought that was a really funny story.
Like, good one. Good stuff.
I didn't get any of the lyrics because I'd forgot, but, like, it talks about how it has, you know, much better potassium exports than almost any other country, or like third highest potassium export.
Oh, they didn't get the instrumental version.
Right.
It had the lyrics. What language are the lyrics in?
Probably
gotta
English.
Be English.
Wow.
I would have liked to have been there for that.
Right? I'm sure they must have known, like...
Where
was
this in Iran, you said?
Kuwait.
Kuwait. I would like to be in Kuwait for that.
If you were... if you are from Kazakhstan, you probably know all about that movie because it drives you nuts. Like,
yeah,
that people
you hate
think
it.
That's real. So you probably know that parody song. So as soon as it kicked in, you were probably like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
are
who
you
is doing
me?
This? What kind of joke are these oil barons playing on us?
Let's see. Another Facebook story here. Rick Perry's Facebook page has been inundated with over 6,000 comments by this past midweek of women asking.
Hold that thought. Oh!
Oh, yes. Okay, it's not. It's in Kazakh or whatever language.
No, it's English. I heard country.
Nope, I don't. Okay.
All right, there's a little taste of that for you.
Wow.
All right, so Rick Perry's Facebook page has been filling up with fake questions from women after this most recent outrage about them being required to go through a transvaginal ultrasound before getting an abortion in Texas.
Give us an example of a question.
Governor Perry, I'm experiencing mid-cycle cramping. Is this punishment from God for not getting pregnant this month?
yes.
Hi-yo.
Much like...
vaginal bleeding, yes.
Much like Governor Sarah Palin's Facebook page, there are staff members going through deleting the comments. So if you want to look at them, you have to kind
drunk
of...
Drunk as a skunk, sir, yes. Hi-yo.
Many women are facetiously seeking advice on their menstrual periods from the governor since he styled himself an expert on women's health.
I did not know that. Yeah, did you know that? Yeah?
Now, the GOP realizes that women vote in this country, right?
They only vote at a rate of 0.79 to every male, just like the pay rate. So I think they're still okay.
I think that that's going to increase this year.
Two other examples that I liked. Dear Governor Perry, I'm confused why insurance would cover Viagra but not female contraception. Clearly, as a Christian, you realize God blesses only certain men with limp dicks. So those men do not father children.
Limp dick.
And then finally, Mr. Perry, I was considering jacking off. Thought I would ask you for the okay first. Reply soon. Losing wood. Thanks.
Losing wood.
That could have been the whole show. You could have just read all
that's
those
good
comments.
Stuff.
some quick ones here. So, like you mentioned, Hunger Games estimated to have 150.
Yes, limp.
When did? Why did it start? I missed how we started with the Carson.
Jared just started doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, did you know that we're doing your imitations today?
Oh, right. I was going to add to the Hunger Games money talk.
Later, we've got Karnak and Doc Severinsen. Doc, play us out.
That's where all the kids are like the Sammy Davis Jr. references out there.
Let's see. Diablo 3 has a release date. Anyone excited about that?
Wait, we talked about Hunger Games money. Was there anything to add to that?
Oh, yeah.
There's a release date for Diablo 3.
Hunger Games had the highest opening day ever for a non-sequel at $68.3 million.
That's regardless of time of year, ever.
Yes.
Holy balls.
That's a lot of balls.
The second highest.
That's a lot of dance suspenders.
The second highest opening day ever for a non-sequel.
Dance suspenders.
Was Alice in Wonderland's, the 2010 Alice in Wonderland with $40.8 million. So it beat it by like 20.
Starring Johnny Depp.
What? Oh, yeah. Right?
Wow. Okay. That's amazing.
Diablo 3 is coming out in May.
Alice
excited about that.
In Wonderland.
This just in.
Just in. It's just in.
This just in.
Yes.
The Johnny Carson
Breaking
bit.
News.
Johnny Carson bit's gotten really old.
Hi-yo!
Where is it?
I'm going to hold for it. I'm going to wait.
We got to have
There's a sound effect coming up here.
Look at him
Why
go.
Why is it not working?
Good.
Yeah, did you know we have sound effects?
The computer knows that it's gotten old. It's like it's just not even going to cooperate.
Like, none of my sounds are working.
Oh, my God.
We are still recording, right?
We're still recording. Okay. It's flash-based. I may have had a flash issue.
Let's see. Oh, 3D movies. Mm-hmm. You know how you have to pay more for 3D movies?
I hate it. Can't
did you know that later on
George,
in,
I, George,
in
I can't
year,
stand you. No.
We're not going to have to pay more for 3D
no,
movies?
No, what?
Do you know why?
Because they're not making any more.
No, because they're just going to make 2D prices more so that they all cost the same.
Is that for real?
Yeah. Like they're gonna lower 3D ticket costs and raise 2D ticket costs so they're the same.
I'm looking at you with disgust in my eyes. Like you're
it's
doing
not my idea.
You're doing this to me, Adam.
Well,
what do you think of that, Jared?
That's why Kindle books are so expensive.
I blame it all on Kindle books.
Let's see. Michael nice Bay callback. Is doing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie reboot.
He's just producing it, though.
He's
directing.
Producing it, right. But
chill out, nerds. That's what he said.
I know, but supposedly he's decided that they are going to be aliens. Not mutant turtles from Earth, from America.
They're mutant turtles from a different, different planet,
I guess.
And I like how the creators of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles got on this thing and they're like, guys, just relax. And
one's on board, one isn't.
We'll see what a great creative mind could do. And would it be great if there was like a planet with an entire race of turtles or something to that effect? I'm paraphrasing and adding an.
That's
inflection,
a good imitation of Eastman or Laird.
Yeah. And like, no, it would be terrible. Just stick to the source material and make a badass movie, which they already did.
Grow up,
in my
Jared.
Opinion.
Yeah. Grow up and live life.
Lastly.
I don't care, actually. I'm not going to watch
this
it, probably.
A big story.
It's a big story. It's got one line on his iPod.
There were some celebrity phone hacks a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, are we talking like Christina Hendricks
and her big old cans? And Olivia Munn is a dirty girl.
Tell me, what does that mean?
She's into getting choked. She's into getting
that?
Smacked around. I'll tell you in a minute. She's into having Chris Pine bang her in the butt.
Chris Pine is who is that?
That's the Captain.
Is that Captain Kirk?
Captain Kirk. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she took pictures of herself and then drew arrows on them, like in Photoshop or whatever.
Yes, this is your pussy.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah,
and your penis goes here.
Boy, this sounds like pictures that I was drawing Jared and draw something yesterday.
Very, very similar.
Yeah. So she hasn't really denied that. Because they're hers. But she has not denied. She just hasn't made any sort of real public appearance.
You might want to go underground on that one.
She was supposed to be at South
Chris
by
Pine,
Southwest.
By the way, nothing but a big smile on his face.
Yeah. So she was supposed to be at South by Southwest with the rest of the crew from whatever movie, something about someone's having a baby.
Something about my butt?
And was it Friends with Kids or something like that?
Not that one.
No.
There's some other, I don't know.
Whatever.
Why did I miss this story? This sounds like a story that's right up my alley.
Oh, man, Gawker had...
You gotta read BuzzFeed and Gawker.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna take a note.
They had the pictures up for... You know what? I think
your
the pictures
probably
are
knows
still
about
there.
It.
Yeah.
Gawker?
She reads BuzzFeed.
In BuzzFeed, you say.
BuzzFeed, yes.
Buzz. Yeah, did you know about this BuzzFeed?
Yes, it's all a buzz.
So you can see Olivia Munn's boobs. They're like
I don't know why that made me laugh.
Semi covered by like a
thank you, Phil Hartman.
I just wrote down Fuzzfeed.
SNL All Stars.
Poor Adam, he's having a coronary over here.
No. Hey, just be happy your team traded for the number 2 pick.
RG3, man.
I'm really excited about that. And now it's gonna wind up being Andrew Luck because the Colts are gonna realize. But it's okay. Either one of those guys would be good.
Yeah.
RG3 is just cooler. We've always seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles socks.
Yeah, he does.
Come on.
Anyway.
What a guy.
Is that the news?
Is that the news? Nice job, Adam.
I like to finish off with masturbatory material. So Olivia Munn talking about getting rammed in the butt. There you go.
Good stuff, Jared.
Gentlemen.
Let's wrap this up and let's jump right into coming soon, shall we? Does that sound effect work?
I have this muted. Ha ha! Maybe that's why it wasn't working.
What was that sound effect you were trying to play? Quickly.
I was trying to play a rim shot earlier.
Oh. I thought it was the Tonight Show theme.
I have that on demand. Best thing I can do is like the dating game.
From the greatest city in the world. No, that's not. I don't know what the Tonight Show theme song goes like. Are we ready for coming soon?
Yes.
Music. March 27th, Macy Gray. Madonna.
Can I just say I don't care about Macy Gray? Never have.
That's fine.
Okay. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't know why I felt like I needed to make that known to the world.
Yeah.
I just don't care.
It's a little weird.
Doesn't work for me.
This new Madonna album is supposedly very, very disco-y. Like, more disco-y than any of her previous albums, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. That's what Rolling Stone said. Clay Aiken. Is Clay Aiken gay?
Yeah.
That's a real thing?
Very gay.
Is he open about it?
Yes.
Good for him.
Although he's not like...
Is he open? I don't know if he's come out.
No, he has come out.
Google it.
Pretty sure he's
come out. Cowboy Junkies.
If not, he should have come out.
See, that's fast.
Is there words to this?
No, it's just the theme.
With Doc Severton and the Tonight Show Band.
Yeah, like someone says that stuff, right?
Yeah, there's a voiceover.
Yeah, it's Ed McMahon talking over it.
All right.
Look, it's got a nice little look at how happy Johnny is. Oh, it's Karnak.
It's Karnak, everyone.
Great.
All right. Sorry. I can do it too, Jared.
Cowboy Junkies, Iron Maiden.
What are you looking at this, by the way? What application is this?
This is just the default PDF viewer. I don't know.
So you open up my email in a PDF viewer?
No, it's Dropbox. So I open your email up, I copy and paste it into Word, save as a PDF into my Dropbox, and then it's on here too.
Bam. Why don't you just look at it as an email, and then bam. Because you don't have access.
I just wanted to keep it in case.
Like, just in case, Jared.
What if...
He uses this as things he might pick up at some point.
I like how he uses the Scopes Dropbox.
Yeah.
Couldn't use his own Dropbox.
What a bastard. Keep reading.
Eating up my space.
Running out of space on that. Isn't it shared? Oh, it's shared from you. Okay.
Whatever. I've maxed out my free space. I have 11 gigs. I used the Google AdWords trick, and it worked perfectly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes. Mike Snow has a new album. That's actually three guys.
It's a band.
There's no one named Mike
Snow. They're
from
Sweden or something. Yeah. I just read about them in the Internet
Rolling
Weekly.
Stone. Yes. Oh, okay.
I read about them on my tablet.
It's Mike with two or three eyes, right?
Two eyes.
Two.
Like we.
Gotcha.
So it's Meek.
Meek
Snow. Shinedown and the All-American
Coming
Rejects.
To rock band Shinedown.
I don't know who that is.
They have a song called Second Chance, which I know you've heard that song, but beyond that, probably not much.
April 3rd, Nicki Minaj. I like that both of these April 3rd releases have colons in their name. Nicki Minaj is Pink Friday, colon, Roman Reloaded. I don't know what that means. And Willow Smith, Willow, colon, You Think You Know Me. Is this Willow Smith?
No, we know you.
First album?
No, I don't think so. Why?
I mean, because Whip Your Hair was
a breakout hit
2 years ago or something.
Breakout hit.
How come she has her own name in her second album? Anyway, movies. March 30th, Mirror, Mirror. Is that the Snow White movie?
Mm-hmm. One of them.
So,
yes. This is the funnier one.
Why are there two Snow White movies coming out at the same, or you know, in the same?
Because Hollywood is unoriginal.
That's weird.
Well, that's why. The Mirror Mirror looks like my prediction is that movie is going to be a colossal bomb.
Like a John Cutter scale bomb.
Oh, it didn't cost as much to make, but it will be a tremendous flop. Okay. You heard it here first. Flippity flop.
I heard it in my brain first.
Wrath of the Titans.
$10 million is what it'll make. Wrath of the Titans.
Wrath of the Titans. I keep not remembering what the first movie was called.
Flash of the Titans.
Then I'll think about it. But those words are too similar. I feel like people are going to think they already saw it, so that they should call it Wrath of the Titans or Clash of the Titans 2.
What are two? What's the
more clashes?
Yeah.
What's the
clashier?
Clash harder.
What's the term
clash
for harder. Two similar sounding words, Jared?
Homonyms.
Homonym.
No.
Yeah,
is that it? Yeah.
Yes, but this is not a homonym, because Clash and Wrath are not actually the same.
Phononyms.
I don't know.
Homophone?
Homophone? Maybe it's a homophone.
Like there and there and there?
I think those are homonyms.
Yeah, we want just similar sounding words. They're not the same word.
Yeah, there. There and there are two different words. And then the
Let Jared look
word.
It up. He's on it.
I can't wait until my old roommate Adam corrects us on this one. So don't
listen to this show.
Don't look it up, Jared. He'll comment on that. April 6th, American Reunion. That's the American Pie guy.
We want to see that. We're on board.
Really? Allison Flanagan?
Everybody's back. I mean, it smells of desperation. Yeah. That's what I like about it.
Well, because no one in that movie is, like, Stifler has probably had the biggest career since that movie, right? I mean, Allison Flanagan, because
she's had the most consistent career.
But because she's been on a sitcom for six years.
She's pretty much worked. Well, she was in Buffy. She worked all the way through Buffy, and then she went right to this show. She's worked.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say she's the most. So or why actually, I would say that Jennifer Coolidge and...
Who's that?
And that's Stifler's mom.
Oh, yes, because she's been in all the...
And what's-his-face, the dad.
Eugene Levy.
Okay. Those two probably fared the best.
Okay, I was talking about the kids, but you're right. I think the pie actually has had the most work.
Yeah, since, I mean, there was an uptick in pie. Pie's fucking, everywhere.
Pie fucking's been nonstop
since... Yeah, that doesn't go away.
All right.
It boosted 600%.
So you want to see American Reunion?
Yeah, we do. Why be so cynical?
I'm not being cynical. You just said it reeks of desperation.
Well, I mean, I appreciate the fact that the entire cast came back.
Oh, okay.
But it probably out of desperation because they don't have careers. But I like the fact that they came back anyway. Because it could have been one of those things where three of the guys came back, but one guy didn't because he had a business meeting he couldn't get away from, you know?
Right.
They don't have to
like on TV reunions, how that always happens.
Like one person from the Brady Bunch is always not... Oh, Cindy was stuck on a cruise, and she couldn't get away for, you know, dad's big thing. That sort of thing.
Oh, okay. You're saying...
Stuck on a cruise. That's a terrible plot line, by the way. I would write it better.
You're saying that these are the reasons they give in the movie or show.
Yeah,
I thought you meant, like, this is what they say, like, during the reunion.
No, they're just... Yeah, during the actual Brady Bunch reunion, Cindy couldn't be there because...
Is it weird that Jason Segel is the one from How Much has been on for 6 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Is it weird that he has the biggest career of those of that show's main cast?
Well, he was...
Is he bigger than Neil Patrick Harris,
I would say he is. Neil Patrick Harris just keeps playing parodies of himself. Or he's been in the Smurfs movie.
Or he's hosted a lot of things.
I would say Neil Patrick Harris is a superstar with that Smurfs movie. He's a superstar.
With age 6 to 12. Like, that doesn't count. Those kids don't buy anything.
What's her name? Colby Smulders, though. She's going to be in Avengers.
Maria Hill. I think that's our next show topic. Who's more popular?
Okay.
Jason Segel?
I think you can probably go through several sitcom ensembles and we could debate who has had the better careers. That would be a good bit.
I'm going to write that down.
Yep. We could go through Friends. We could go through, you know, and there's lots of them. We could probably go back to the 80s even if we wanted to.
How many of their dicks have you seen? Only Jason Segel's.
That's really the only one, honestly.
I have not seen Colby Smulders' dick.
You are missing out.
You are.
I tell you. It's like China.
She's not encumbered by a dance belt. Let's just say that.
DVD, March 27th. We're still doing this. Extremely
this is
loud.
To be a short, tight show.
I know. I like that Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close comes out the same day as Chipwrecked. Like those. That's counter programming.
Oddly enough, my daughter wants to see Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
But not the Chipmunk movie? No.
She's been talking about Chipwrecked for months on DVD, for the record.
Is it going to be like a zookeeper where she's like all excited, but then
she saw it already. Okay. She's out in the theater.
So she's ready for it.
Oh, she's just like you. She wants to buy the DVD of stuff she's already seen.
No, she actually watches that stuff.
Okay.
We buy it and then don't watch it.
April 3rd, War Horse, Being Elmo. I imagine that as like being John Malkovich, just starring Elmo instead.
You climb inside the brain of Elmo through a small door.
Fuzzy red door.
Yeah, it's fuzzy.
We bought a zoo.
It's actually through Oscar's intestines.
Oh, very strange. Chasing Elmo. Video games. Not too much here. The 25th, Tiger Woods, and Ridge Racer. Unbounded.
I don't know what that means.
It's who knows?
It's not bound?
It's not bounded in the past. Maybe it's bounded now. I don't know. And April 1st, Kinect Star Wars, which from everything I've seen so far is just a minigame collection, and people are, you know, or grown-ups are...
It's a travesty.
Looks terrible.
Very upset about that. I'm sure kids will love it, but...
But Star Wars is for kids, so...
Star Wars is for kids.
At least according to its creator.
Darth Maul back in Clone Wars. What do you think?
What?
Darth Maul on the Clone Wars. What do you think?
I have not. I'm like a season and a half behind, but I'm very slowly going through it. I didn't even... You spoiled it for me. How is he alive? What?
Do you not read the internet? Even I read the internet.
I don't quite explain how he's still alive.
Wait,
but
he's back in the movie?
I mean, sort of.
No, he's back in the TV show.
The cartoon.
Yeah.
How? What? He got cut in half. The Force kept him alive?
Well, it probably castrated, cauterized the wounds as it went through him.
I would have to think so. Okay. I'm just not clear on how he got from Naboo to wherever he ended up now.
Does he have robot legs?
You'll have to watch and find out.
It's going to take me a long... Oh, whatever.
He starts off with spider body, and then he gets robot legs later.
All right. Stupid. He wasn't even that good of a bad guy.
Well, he's a little bit better on this.
He's even worse if you watch that that video that breaks down the Phantom Menace's lightsaber battle.
Oh,
what does that mean?
The guy, what's his face, reviewing it?
Yeah,
no, he does like the 90-minute review of.
It's like a 3-minute clip where just like an English guy demonstrating how poorly choreographed the fights are because it's all. You'll have to watch it.
Okay,
it's out there. It's making the rounds.
All right.
Spoiler alert, if you thought the lightsaber battle was one of the only good things about the film, you probably don't want to watch this video because it will start to ruin it for you.
I got
to
watch that.
Yeah. If you Google the 90-minute long review of each of the prequels, he does like a 90-minute review of each one of them. They're really good. Like they're spot
on. I've wanted to watch them, but it's like, who's got the time?
If you Google the word dance
belt,
you get a lot of disturbing pictures.
Well, I mean, they're not necessarily disturbing, but I mean, let's be honest, a dance belt deals with a certain area of the anatomy, so it's inevitable you're going to, you know, have pictures that that are cropped to, you know, emphasize a certain area. I wouldn't say it's necessarily pornographic or dirty, but if you're uncomfortable about things in that area.
Set your safe search to strict.
Yes.
Could I say they're telling?
I don't know if they're telling. It's I don't know.
I've never worn one. I don't know.
I'm just trying to warn the audience.
I think we all should wear one and take snapshots.
I don't want the audience to go into.
We all wear the same one at different times.
At the same time.
Without laundering it. Just like Disney used to do.
Ooh. That Disney. Those dirty dogs.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Dance belt.
Dance belt party is over, as is coming soon. As is Under the Scope.
Right. I should do this then.
Under the Scope. My favorite part of the show, where we read the tons and tons of listener mail.
Let me open up the mailbag, Shane.
Ooh.
Oh, rough.
Sad. No comments on the last episode where we did a rousing game of Would You Rather or something.
That was a good episode, too.
Fuck
all of you.
Maybe it's not the sort of material that is...
No, don't defend them.
...worthy of commentary. I don't know.
It said it all in the show.
Right.
You can't...
Instead, I'd like to use this segment to address something that happened in the latest episode of Luke and Carrie's Bad Report. It's a podcast done by the great Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby, friends of the show. And
convenient that their names are the same as what's in the
title
of the show.
It is. It's very convenient. Now, we were addressed... the Scope collectively was addressed in their discussion of Saturday Night Live... And certain persons on Saturday Night Live. I'm just gonna play the clip, and then I will ask you guys for your reaction. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. This is the great Luke Ski.
You know, it's our good friends at the Scope, whose opinions I do respect very much. Huh. Keep along.
There's the setup right there.
Yeah. But
he just said the same thing as I don't mean to be a dick, but
look at Adam standing up. He's outraged
angry.
Already.
I'm gonna do all podcasts right. Like this for now.
Here we go. Here we're gonna finish it up.
Auding Cherry O'Terry as being
I'm gonna back that up just a little bit.
Scope, whose opinions I do respect very much. Keep lauding Cherry O'Terry as being such a brilliant comedian and. I don't want to say that she isn't funny ever. However, you're kind of proving my point because after Will Ferrell left Saturday Night Live, he made a ton of movies which were very popular and still do. Cherry O'Terry didn't really go on to do anything. I think she was in one of the scary movies.
30 more
she
seconds.
Was in.
Hang in.
I think one of the Inspector Gadget films playing like the mayor or something, but there has been no Cherry O'Terry lead vehicle on the level of, say, Bridesmaids or what are Tina Fey's movies? Mean Girls, Date Night,
Or any television.
That winner at the box office, Date Night.
Oh, Jared's angry.
I'm just kidding.
Or shows like Parks and Rec or 30 Rock, it's like, so I'm still kind of waiting for Cherry O'Terry to step up and be as brilliant and as the guys on the Scope say she is.
Okay, so I'm just trying to recall, have we ever started the Cherry O'Terry fan club on this show?
Spoiler alert, yes.
In my defense,
yes.
I do sneak in a Cherry O'Terry reference in every episode.
Similar
to the Watchers on Fringe.
Okay.
Even when they're not
just in the background.
It's always in there. Because if you go back, you'll notice me saying, like, this movie was awesome. This is the Cherry O'Terry of movies. But I just kind of slip it in there and you don't notice it.
You're being subtle unless you're really paying attention or something.
When have we talked about Cherry O'Terry?
We might have brought her up once or twice. I don't know. And maybe that's me. Maybe me saying that, thinking that Sherry O'Terry is funny. There's a difference between being successful and being funny, by the way.
And I reject the idea that Scary Movie is like, or, you know, you can't use these one-off examples.
I don't even care about what her career trajectory has been. I think that's beside the point. I'm more curious about, I'm just trying to figure out if in fact, in the past, we have, to use Luke's own word, lauded Sherry O'Terry.
We might have said she was good.
Do we transcript every one of these episodes?
Surely.
That was your job.
Surely we do.
That was your job.
I will check with the transcription service.
Okay. Excellent.
We'll debate Sherry O'Terry sometime.
If you go, you know what, maybe we were talking, we like mentioned one-off the best of SNL things that they do.
Okay.
I've seen hers before. It's good because I think on Saturday Night Live, Sherry O'Terry was funny. I'll stand by that.
But this is more of a case of us saying, yes, we think she was funny, not necessarily saying, yes, we think she is one of the funniest women to have ever appeared on the show.
That's a whole different debate.
Okay. Right. I mean, women are not funny, so it's...
I don't have much of an opinion on her because I didn't really watch those seasons that she was on.
We were talking about this yesterday. I would actually include Sherry O'Terry in a conversation for funniest women from SNL. I'm not saying she is, but I would say that her name would have to be mentioned. The other thing is that... is in a grand history or tradition of SNL, people going on from SNL, the majority of the time, the people that go on to be successful are the men from the show. It's just the way it is.
It's true. Yeah.
Tina Fey is an exception to the rule. Kristen is an exception to the rule. So is Parks and Rec. Amy Poehler. Those are.
Can we add Maya Rudolph to the list now? She's got a hit TV show.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, Maya Rudolph is funny. You've got people, you know, Molly Shannon, who did a bunch of stuff, but still. She sort of struggled outside
several
of Saturday
failed
Night.
Sitcoms.
But if you think of beyond, before that time, who went on to success as a female from
Victoria
Saturday
Jackson.
Night Live? Victoria Jackson. Jan Hooks?
Right. No.
You have to go back to Gilda Radner, who even Gilda didn't do that much in movies.
What's her face?
Jane Curtin maybe did a little bit. She did Third Rock from the Sun. So I'd say men probably.
Jane Curtin was also on, was that Kate and Alley?
Kate and Alley, too.
That was a pretty big hit.
That was, okay. But I mean... There you
but
go.
But meanwhile,
Lorraine Newman. What did Lorraine Newman?
Without trying, you can talk about
Julie
Chase
Louis-Dreyfus
and Dan Aykroyd and Adam Sandler. And, like you know, you can name guys without struggling. You know,
is Sherry O'Terry like, funny? Is Dan Aykroyd? Probably not. But
so a good example of this is Rob Schneider has had a long running career.
We're starting show two. Okay, anyway, we'll cover that in another show. Let's stop the conversation.
My point was just I wanted to see if you guys had recalled any point in the past where we were particularly effusive in our praise for Ms. O'Terry. Or if it was more of an incidental thing in a larger conversation.
I recall us bringing her up at some point.
I know we
maybe
did.
Maybe once or twice.
I'm just
but
curious about the tone. I've asked for citations. We'll see if the great Luke Ski responds. And Luke, I apologize. I'm not trying to be antagonistic here. I'm just...
He is.
I felt the comment felt a bit like either I'm remembering my own show poorly or maybe your impression of our glee over Sherry O'Terry is a bit higher than it should be. I don't know. So hopefully he'll come back with something. If he, I won't be surprised because I would never do this. I would never go back and try to pull the clips, as it were. But if Luke really wants to do that.
That is why you fail.
Then, hey, great. So anyway.
The internet's all about winning arguments. Don't you know this?
Yeah.
Do it better.
Right. Anyway, Luke, back to you.
Jared tossed it.
So if you have any comments on the oeuvre of Sherry O'Terry, you can write in to comments@thescopeshow.com. You can comment on our blog at thescopeshow.com. You can also call the voicemail line 612-21-SCOPE, 612-217-2673. Operators are standing by. You can also join our Facebook fan page or follow us on Twitter. Those links are at the website. Shane.
They are.
As always, if you're shopping at Amazon, be sure to click on our Amazon.com affiliates link right there in the sidebar of our website over at thescopeshow.com and part of the proceeds will go to us to help support the show. Well, back to you, Shane.
Don't forget the Dance Belt Challenge from Amazon.com. You buy a dance belt and you can prove it, you get a special Scope Show prize.
That is an amazing challenge.
I think that's a great challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, I encourage everyone to take it up. But it's got to be the first person to do it. Anyone who's after the first person, then it's just you're doing it for your own pleasure.
And ours.
And our pleasure. Yeah. Mostly our pleasure.
Yeah. And for the pleasure of your audience. They're going to enjoy that package you're presenting.
Hi-yo.
Hi-yo.
Hi-yo indeed. Hey now.
Any plugs?
I don't have any plugs, Adam. Be appearing anywhere?
Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. We beat the Laugh Factory.
Laugh Factory.
Laugh Factory.
Columbus, Ohio. Right by the Ohio State University.
The Ohio.
Is He'll like be a- opening for Aziz Ansari.
Yep.
And Paula Poundstone.
Yeah. Speaking of Aziz Ansari, I downloaded his recently released comedy special. I need to watch that.
I did too.
Tom Haverford.
It's the same exact same stand up show that I saw live here at the State Theater 4 years ago.
Okay,
that
doesn't. So surprise. He didn't change it up like he said he did.
That doesn't surprise me.
But it's different from his first special.
Yeah, well, that's
which
good.
Is, you know, from 16.
He's no Louis C.K. is he?
I think you got to expect that a little bit because comedians will you know they'll work the routine on the road and then yeah. they'll do a special. And then they'll, you know, scrap all that material and start over. So I haven't seen them live, so I'm hoping for...
Then you will like it. It's good.
All right. Good.
All right.
I'm excited. What's up? I got no plugs. So.
No plugs. So let's just wrap this thing up. It's been a long show. We're back on track. We'll see you another time with more good scopeness.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Later.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, buonanotte. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.